is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the news junkie for a Thursday, March 15, 2018. Lots to get to today, from the part of your childhood that just died to the IHOP waitress railroaded by social media chatter, and United Airlines faces even more animal travel troubles, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
What's up?
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Fantastic.
Not
thank
too
you.
Bad.
All right, that's good enough. We'll take that. Right?
How are you?
I'm doing well. All is well. I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
I've worked my way through this cold. I'm on the back side of it, I think.
I don't even know what I am anymore, to be honest.
You're not feeling well, huh?
No, I mean, I feel better. I don't feel like weak and fatigued and achy, but at the same time, it sounds like I'm dying still.
Yeah, I mean, the office sounds bad these days. There's a lot of, you know, all kinds of noises going on. And then I did a weird, dark celebration this morning. Makes me a bad, bad person for doing it. But this morning, after staying home for 3 days in a row, I haven't smoked in like 3 days. I'm trying to be good so I can stay in enough vocal shape to do the show here and trying to keep everything together. All through this time that I've been sick, Muffin Lady has been completely healthy and has bragged about her immune system.
Oh, no.
And then woke up, and this morning she's like, my throat's hurting a little bit.
Oh.
And I said, oh, can I get you something? Can I get you some orange juice or something?
You're so messed up.
Walked out in the hallway, and I was like, yeah!
So you are giving up smoking, trying to take care of yourself, but made sure to get in a couple kissing sessions in so you could disease her.
It wasn't even that. I think my disease just travels, just moves through the air like a good smell in a cartoon. It's just floating around, and finally it's going to get you eventually. So, mild celebration of just a terrible, terrible thing. Well, let's go from terrible to good, because we do have some good news for everybody. And a bit of an announcement here. Do we have the incredibly long drum roll? The one just
believe it.
Disturbingly long that you do the build-up for and think, oh, I've still got some more time to fill. And more, time. We're taking the show to Sarasota, Florida.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Weekend edition invading Sarasota, Florida.
That's awesome.
WTZB Z105, the classic rock station down there. And we're headed to the lineup at WTZB Z105. It's a great station down there. It goes from like St. Petersburg, Florida, down to like Naples.
That's cool.
So you'll be able to hear that there. I know we already have people in the west coast of Florida, in the St. Petersburg area, in Naples, in Sarasota. Tons of them who listen to the show. They even have a Sarasota song. Because I was like, we got to do something. You know? Yeah?
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
In Sarasota.
Ooh.
Oh.
So old.
I'm having fun. Ain't I lucky?
You like it already, don't you? So big thanks to the programming staff over there at WTZB Z105 in Sarasota for adding Weekend Edition to the lineup.
Oh, yes. Get ready to get weird during the weekend over there.
Yeah, they're going to. For a while, I think people listen and they go, what is this? Who are these people? What is happening? Where is my Led Zeppelin, where, you know, whatever they're looking for at that point in time. But eventually they come around the corner and they love us. They enjoy our company, and it spreads the word across the state of Florida. Slowly but surely, we're conquering the state of Florida, piece by piece, great station by great station. And the latest on board is Z105 in Sarasota. We start this weekend, folks. So if you're down there, make sure you're listening. Make sure you're saying thanks to the station and all of that. But we have some really, really bad news this morning, too.
I declare...
Sean.
What?
Bankruptcy!
I'm talking about a company that we have spent so much time with. A company that has touched so many lives. And a company that is completely screwed right now.
I don't want to grow up.
I'm talking about Toys R Us.
My childhood down the drain.
Yeah. Now, all of the Toys R Us stores in the state of Florida. What, did you guys think I was going to say something else? Or?
Wants to change to video games.
Oh, man. So catchy.
It's the biggest toy store there is. Gee whiz.
Oh, I don't remember the Gee Whiz until right then. I think I missed that my whole childhood. Toys R Us is shutting down all of its 800 U.S. stores. The rumors are true. I guess what they were doing was just trying to stay in business through Christmas, and if they had a big Christmas, they could stick around. It's done, man. Put a nail in the coffin of the toy store.
That's sad.
Yeah, that used to be the thing. You'd be little, your parents would drive you over to Toys R Us.
Yeah, they're like, go, you know, walk around and do some playing,
uh-huh,
and then walk out with no toys, but just the feeling inside of playing with toys.
Oh, your story's hurt.
Yeah.
When it comes to Toys R Us.
All window shopping for us.
I remember being just a little bit older than, like, being excited about all the toys, and then they have the video game section.
Yeah.
And when the N64 came out, like, you hadn't seen anything like it. The graphics were crazy good compared to anything that's ever been seen.
Oh, they had the setup in the store where you could play it.
Yeah, and the controller is way weird. It's supposed to be super ergonomical, and you don't know why. And so, and then they had the demo one that you could play. And I would play all of the Super Mario 64. Just you could leave me there for hours.
It's amazing how many people were touched by the store. And was it Jeffrey the Giraffe, the little mascot guy
Godfrey.
For Toys R Us? Is that what it is? I don't know. I never know what to say.
It's spelled. You say Jeff, but it's spelled Geoff.
Jeffrey the Giraffe, spelled like he's British or something, which may have led to some of the problems that they had. But the toy store is dead, is it not? I mean, Amazon is where people go to get it, or you go to Walmart and do the toy aisles?
Yeah, I guess.
Does anybody go to, is FAO Schwartz still a thing?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's not a thing in Orlando anymore.
What about FYE? Is that still a thing?
That's
the CD store?
I guess FYE is not really a toy store, right?
Yeah, that was CDs, I think.
KB Toy Store, done?
I think gone.
Most of these are just dried up, and it was such a big deal as a kid to go to a toy store. Things can change. And they can change rapidly. And that's what has happened with the marketplace around these toy companies. I think they're still going to be in the business over at Babies R Us.
KB went out of business in 2009.
Did they really?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Jesus. KB Toy Store is gone. Toys R Us is gone. All these big, giant stores that were a huge part of our lives are absolutely drying up.
Even FAO Schwartz is defunct two years ago.
Jesus, what do we have left?
I don't know.
What about Duncan's Toy Chest?
The hell
I
is that?
I think that was a fake toy store that was in FAO Schwartz.
How dare you on a morning like this? How dare you do that to me? 33,000 jobs are likely to be affected by the closing. Some really uncomfortable meetings underway right this very moment. And I know that because several people, not even just one, a couple of people sent in emails. Their loved ones work at Toys R Us, and they had already gotten the message saying, look, we're going to go in and have a meeting tomorrow.
Now, that being said, the loved ones that have been working at Toys R Us, haven't you been kind of feeling it for a little bit, considering no one's been going in the stores to buy the toys?
Oh, you can feel it when you go in there. I went in there just a year or two ago.
Why?
And there was some reason. It was a Christmas present for somebody, I think. And I went into a Toys R Us, and it's like dimly lit, and they're not replacing the lights overhead, and they're flickering, and you're gonna get the same exact experience if you go to a Tiger Direct right now. And the folks who are working there are just kind of looking around, going, "We open today?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I guess we're open today." Oh,
sorry to grow up. Fun Toys R Us
kid. So sad after all these years. I do have some mildly good news attached to the bad news. It's a roller coaster of emotions to kick us off today. Toys R Us gift cards, if you got them, they're good for the next 30 days, and then they're worth positively nothing.
Hooray.
So they plan to honor your gift cards for the next 30 days. What I'm thinking is, are they going to have a moment where they're about to close up all those stores and you can go in there and get everything for super cheap?
I mean, that's what I'm hoping for.
Like a closing down, like, you know, everything must go sale.
That, or do they liquidate and send all that stuff to Amazon and get a last big chunk before they close the doors?
They might. I'm not sure how they'll clear all that out, but it's interesting to watch. They always do that stuff where they're like, everything must go, liquidation sale. And there was a furniture place that used to do that in West Palm Beach, and I went in there, and I was like, oh my God, look at these must be the best deals ever. And then I realized for years and years and years, I'm like, they always have that message up there. It always says up to 90% off, liquidation sale, everything must go.
I loved when all the Albertsons around town were shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could find an Albertsons anymore. I think a lot of them got bought up and became Publixes.
Yeah.
But the liquor store that was attached to the Albertsons would have the everything must go, and they would be just slashing prices on everything. I got super excited, and I run in. And it's been picked over to all hell because the people don't want to wait for the prices to get real low. They're like, oh, a few bucks off on this vodka. Let's scoop it up. So I ended up with some Rumplemints and six of those little green grenade bottles of sake that were like $2 a piece. Ew. They were delicious.
Like the last things on the shelves.
Pretty much.
Situation you ended up with. And more trouble for United Airlines. Things are going well over there. They're investigating after mistakenly flying a family's dog from Kansas to Japan. Bit of a mistake there.
How? These guys have the worst luck as far as public relations stories going out.
KCTV reports Kara Swindle and her two children flew from Oregon to Kansas City, Missouri on a United flight. They went to a cargo facility to pick up their 10-year-old Ergo, a German Shepherd, but were instead given a Great Dane. Here you go. Oh, what, this isn't the dog you're looking for? Just take it. It's a dog. Just take it. Swindle of Wichita, Kansas learned Ergo had been put on a flight to Japan where the Great Dane was supposed to go. Airline officials in Japan put Ergo on a flight back to Kansas City. It's not clear when the dog will arrive, but the dog must be just insanely confused right now.
Seriously, and probably thankful that he wasn't sent to China.
Yeah.
During that big dog festival.
Yeah, I think that's coming up at some point in time.
Awkward.
Let's talk to Drayvon. Go ahead, Drayvon.
Hey, yeah, Marco. I just wanted to let you know.
I'm losing you. Talk right in the phone.
I just want to let you know that it's Joe Theismann. Wasn't the one that talked on the interview.
Right.
It was Joe Namath.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Drayvon. There you go. Bye-bye. Okay. It's going to be a fun show today.
He gave me a whole speech about how he works for Toys R Us, and he came in, and they let half the staff go yesterday.
Gotta love a good troll.
The folks at Z105 in Sarasota right now are going, what did we do? Abort mission. We don't want to take this show. What are we doing?
Just don't include that first segment.
Okay, good. Let's get rid of that. Back in a moment with some more stuff, including the developments in a courtroom in the case against Omar Mateen's wife. Some pretty stunning things that we're learning that make you question quite a bit that you heard during the Pulse coverage. We'll dive into that in just a moment and get to your dispatches next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Junkie.
In just a moment. Oh, I love nothing more than live local news when they flub something. You know, these are folks who, the majority of them, just read teleprompters. And there's somebody who does a script on these stories. The scripts are often shared. In fact, we have a program that we can use to get news stories from all around the country. And we can search through what's on the teleprompter to bring those stories to you. And C-Late will look at this from time to time. And he can search for a phrase and find out that some host said it in Tampa, some host said it in Milwaukee. All these people just read the same script.
Yeah, it's like a news syndicate for when you're slow on your local stuff. You have these little puff pieces. What was that? I remember the one that was about Christmas shopping, and it's like, and sometimes you buy two or three or maybe seven presents for yourself.
Uh-huh.
You just listen to every different way that's around the country that they deliver that same line.
And each of them will have a little flair, but they're saying the same thing. They're reading a teleprompter. When they go off teleprompter or screw up, I just love those moments.
Oh, my God. I spent an hour and a half two nights ago watching a compilation of news bloopers on YouTube that just popped up, and I had such a great time. Like, really, if you're ever having a bad day, watch news bloopers.
Some of those are so good. Did you see, Sabrina, any from any Hispanic television stations?
Yes, I did.
Those tend to be my favorite. And the weather ladies in South America and Central America and in Mexico, I don't know what kind of information they have about the actual weather, but they are ridiculously attractive in many cases. And they happen to be, I don't know if it's on purpose or not, involved in many of these. In this case, we have a news reporter trying to talk about Fitbit. Everybody knows what Fitbit is, right?
Yeah.
A thing you wear, like a fitness tracker.
A gal with a good body.
No, no. Fitbit, you went to where she went. You went to the same direction.
Oh my God, am I a weather woman?
No. She's not a weather woman. This is a news lady, and she's trying to talk about Fitbit. Here she goes.
But the Versa also offers a Fitbit coat.
Ooh.
Fitbit. I mean,
double up on the mistake.
Hey, man.
That's my favorite part. I bet in her life with her friends, she calls these things Fitbitches or something, and then she went to go read it.
The Versa also offers a Fitbit coat.
Oops.
Fitbit. I mean, again.
Oh my God. Don't try to say it again.
Fitbit coat. You got it.
We knew it. You met.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Don't say it anymore. You're obviously not cut out to say the word Fitbit. You can't say, you automatically say Fitbit. And
that's fun to say, though.
It is. It kind of rolls off the tongue. And I'm imagining that maybe she definitely has said this before for some reason. It just, in real time, it just happened very quickly. In the local area here, we're following the story of Omar Mateen's wife as the trial begins. Everybody knows about the Pulse nightclub shooting and all that stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're going after Omar Mateen, the guy who shot the place up and killed 49 innocent people, and then he killed himself. It happened during the club's Latin night, and most of the people, obviously, were Latinos, primarily Puerto Ricans, that were killed in this. And afterwards, there were so many questions about why. And what did his wife know? You know, was she aware that the shooter was going to do this, that he was going to target Pulse? And then the motive became clear. A lot of people said, look, this guy was, he's a gay man, and he could not juxtapose that with his Islamic faith. And because of that, he lashed out and targeted this club in particular. And his wife attested to that in some kind of sworn statement that police got from her. And that story just went nuts. I mean, there were a lot of stories just like this with people who claim that they were either at Pulse or they go to Pulse and they had seen him before and even had sex with him. Here's one of the reports from a while back.
During an interview with Univision, one man whose appearance was altered to hide his identity claimed that he had a sexual relationship for 2 months with Mateen. Univision says investigators have questioned that man, but CBS News was unable to independently confirm that account. Still, members of the Muslim community are shocked over Mateen's pledge to ISIS.
All right, so they were talking about it there. There was some guy on Univision that blurred him out, and he's like, I was in a sexual relationship with this guy.
Oh, I had not necessarily heard that before. I mean, besides the report, but I'll never forget, you know, days after it happened, knowing a lot of people that worked at Pulse and that were in the LGBT community, they remember him weeks before. Like, they didn't like that guy. There was something off about him.
Well, here was another person who said something like that. They're like, look, I saw him on Grindr or something.
The picture that's emerging appears to show a conflicted killer. Several gay men, including clubgoers, say Omar Mateen was a frequent visitor of gay nightclubs and used gay dating apps. Kevin West knew of Mateen through the gay dating app Jacked.
When he first contacted me, he was saying, like, what clubs are popping.
There's a gay dating app called Jacked.
The last contact was like 3 months ago.
West recognized Mateen when he saw him on Saturday night.
And I was right in front of Pulse, and I was standing outside of the car. I said, hey. He turned, looked at me, said, hey, and he was just walking like a regular person. But he had on one of those droopy type hats that hang off the back of your head in a way. And I've always remembered him because the picture that he showed me online before was of him wearing one of those hat things.
All right, there we go. So this is all the stuff that came up. And there's even more of these people who said, look, this guy was raging against internal feelings and targeted Pulse. The problem is none of it's true. And it's so weird that that caught on for so long. And people said this stuff. I don't know if they really believed it, if they got confused.
What do you mean none of it's true?
Well, it came out in the courtroom so far how this actually happened. And this guy actually first drove up here and went to Disney Springs.
Yeah, I remember that. And then went to another club in downtown.
Yep, he was going to target another club. I forgot what the other club that he... Eve or something? Was that what it was?
It was Eve, and he couldn't get in because it is a, I don't know, high-end club. There's a dress code.
Mm-hmm.
And I think attempted again to go to Eve and was searching nightclub, and then that's when at 1:45 he went over to Pulse.
Yeah, he was searching for Orlando nightclubs, and what popped up at the time was Eve and Pulse, those two options.
But that being said, that doesn't mean the other things weren't true. I mean, I'm telling you from personal account of talking to somebody who saw him there weeks before.
I'm telling you that they have positively no evidence that that ever happened, and they're basing that on his phone and where his phone had been tracked over months and months and months. And his phone and his wife's phone had been in Orlando and been at these other places. But as far as all of the stuff that they've determined from these location-based pings and everything else, that was the first time he had ever been to that club. That was the first time he had ever been there. And the reason he went there is because he had gone to some other places and found that he thought the security was going to be too much to pull off what he was going for. And he actually sat there for a while. You can read through all the pages and this information that's been released in the last couple of days. But there's many different things that were out there about what happened here. And look, I'm not saying these people are lying. I'm just saying there's no evidence at all to suggest that that's how it happened. It could have been another person that looked like this guy. It could have been whatever.
It's kind of weird to think that had things been different, had roads not been blocked off, had certain situations been different, that would have happened downtown. I 100% would have been in the area. Not
sure.
Not at that particular club, but I know people that work for that club. I know people that work for that group. It's really odd.
Yeah. I mean, it also almost happened at one of the theme parks. He was checking out that for a little bit, and you go, God, I mean, just the happenstance of a lot of things that happened there. Very, very disconcerting to read through this stuff. But the whole thing about his wife knowing things about this shooting beforehand starts to fall apart when you look at some of the evidence. It's clear that she knew that he was up to something, but whether or not she knew he was going to Orlando to target a club, that's what they're chasing down in the courtroom. But I'd encourage anybody to look at that, the whole process. All the information the FBI and everybody else has found about his journey.
So if that's the case, then why Orlando?
I don't know. He had driven through Orlando before with his wife on some other occasion. And that's when he was looking at some of the theme parks and stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be more information that comes out. But he was looking at Disney properties and malls and all kinds of locations. Then just went for nightclub, realizing that it was late at night. And then just after, I mean, imagine the people that were in those clubs that go, damn it, you know. It's maybe until reading that, they had no clue that they could have been right there in a spot where something like that was going to happen. Well, let's go to some of your dispatches. Here is Gator Tony with a dispatch.
Hey, junkies. Love the show. Yeah, I agree with you, Sean. Furniture sales and car sales have a sale 7 days a week. The old saying is, if you have a sale every day, it's not really a sale. Have a great day.
Gets you, though.
Bye-bye.
Tricks you every single time when you see going out of business, liquidating sale, and then you realize, maybe not. Here's Korean Barbecue.
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time no dispatch. That show, Altered Carbon, on Netflix, you guys were talking about it a couple podcasts ago, and I started watching it, and it is awesome.
Good.
Very good show, action-packed, lots of nudity for you, Sean, and for you as well, C-Lane. There's a couple of scenes of frontal male nudity.
There you go, buddy.
Didn't see that.
You get a kick out of that, C-Lane, with them old pepperoni nips. Hi, Sabrina. You're awesome.
Hey.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Korean Barbecue. Watched a little bit more of the Altered Carbon show last night. I'm fully into it. It takes a while to understand what the hell's going on and to sort of figure some things out. But once you get into the world that they're living in and all the things that are happening, it's exciting as hell. Here is Fancy Nancy.
Hey there. So I have two things. One, did anybody watch Jeopardy last night? Did anyone recognize who that contestant was? His name was Paris.
Oh,
he was Mike TV in the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
What?
What?
I don't
really
understand how he didn't mention that when he like talked about himself, right? Isn't that crazy? The second thing is, I heard that they're coming out with a rebooted, what the heck, Deal or No Deal. That's what I heard. And I'm wondering if anyone is thinking like me, how have they not done a remake of Supermarket Sweep, like the greatest game show of all time?
Guys Grocery Games.
Okay, that's all.
Kind of.
Have a great day.
Yeah, I mean, Guys Grocery Games is the closest thing to that right now.
But Supermarket Sweep, was that where you had to get the specific items?
Yeah, well, you had to get some specific stuff. I think you had to answer trivia questions, and then at the end, you got the chance to fill your shopping cart up with as much stuff as you possibly could, and all that stuff you piled up into your shopping cart, that stuff would then be rung up at the counter, and the most money wins.
Holy hell, yeah. Mike TV played Jeopardy last night. That's crazy.
And nobody says is the guy.
He didn't say anything on the show about it. Like, you know, they do their little chat after the first commercial break.
That's weird as hell. You think that would be the main talking point there?
Yeah.
Here is Piffy MC.
Good morning, News Junkie.
Yeah, morning.
You guys were talking about funny sayings yesterday, and I got a couple. I think the one lady mentioned sliders with flip-flops. I know you're in jail. They give you slides, which are kind of like flip-flops. That's what everybody called them. And then my grandmother,
bird,
who lives up in Coushatta, Louisiana, which
is a bird?
A podunk town in the middle of nowhere. She calls raccoons salamanders.
What?
Like, look at that salamander on the side of the road. I was like, what the hell? Anyways, I love the show. Good.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a weird one. A salamander, and that doesn't make sense. Here's Smalls.
Hey, Sean, I know you lived in Chicago for a bit, so you probably heard these phrases or sayings, I guess, out there. But I know, like, when people from the Midwest, like, bump into somebody or you accidentally get in someone's way, instead of saying oops, most people say, oop, sorry.
Oop.
Oop. Excuse me. Oop. Oop.
Whoopsie daisy.
My bad. And then another one people say is when you're trying to, like, get around somebody, trying to sneak on by them, you say, let me just sneak past you there. Yeah, I don't know. Those are a few things I know that we say over there. And I don't know if you guys ever heard that. And I don't know if you heard that while you were out there, Sean.
Probably. Right. I don't know. It's more taken aback by Midwestern niceties. When you walk by somebody and you say, hey, how you doing? They go, pretty good. How you doing? Is everything okay? They're like, I'm used to just saying this, not really meaning it. Like, I didn't really intend to have a conversation with you. But perhaps some people are a little bit more focused on that and actually answering it. When we come back, we'll talk about a man attacked by his girlfriend. She was wielding a samurai sword. They released the 911 call on this. And also, a Virginia teacher's message goes viral. Details on the way. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Orlando City travels to Yankee Stadium to take on the New York City FC this Saturday. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. on FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
Hell yeah, I just got paid. It's time to get this started. Wait till I stake my claim. Forget that I was ever your
weapon. Wow. As far as crazy 911 calls go, this one's up there for sure. Like, you've been in a lot of relationships, I'm sure, where you say, this is rocky, we fight too much, things are bad. Every once in a while, you hear a story like this, and you say, my relationship wasn't as bad as I thought it was. At least my significant other never tried to attack me with a samurai sword. And on the list of things I don't want to be attacked by, Sabrina, it would be gun, samurai sword, knife. Going down
you know
that
what?
Way.
I'd have to say knife samurai sword gun.
You would knife is the worst for you?
Oh yeah, it's not like
because like all the little stabs.
Yeah, it's gonna be painful and long.
Yeah, but a samurai sword like to the neck or something.
It'll be a lot quicker than you know 17 stab wounds.
Unless it just peels a little bit of you off.
My number one is flamethrower.
Ceiling with the flamethrower is tossing me off a little bit. The flamethrower would be bad. It would be really, really bad. But flamethrower is the worst. I think it is the worst. You win that one. But I don't think you encounter the flamethrower out there in the wild all that much. It's a little bit more rare. Although Elon Musk, damn him to hell, has now introduced a whole bunch of more flamethrowers into the system here. And now people may have to deal with that. But this relationship was not going well. It was between Alex Lovell, who, in the interview I read from him in the wake of this whole attack by his girlfriend who had a samurai sword, it seems to be a pretty fun guy. There's some quotes in here which really grabbed my attention. And the girlfriend completely lost her mind. Emily Javier, 30 years old. They had been together for 2 years. Do you think that if you're with somebody for 2 years, you have a good grasp on whether or not they're going to attack you with a samurai sword?
I don't know. I'm about to hit my 2 year mark, so I'll let you know.
Are you feel now that you know or you don't know?
I feel confident that I'm not going to get attacked by a samurai sword.
Good.
I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a reason why there's a whole show based on people snapping after so many years of being with a person. So who
there's
knows?
There's like 100 of them now. There's a lot of shows about this because you think it's unpredictable.
Yes, 1,000%.
Maybe it's that the further you get in, the more things you discover, and then all of a sudden you go, we were in love until the samurai sword.
I do take that back because there are a couple exes that I'm like, had they been given the opportunity, they probably would have shanked me.
Oh, yeah, I've got that feeling, too. Yeah? Mm. All of us?
I don't know that I've ever had that feeling. I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah. You were agreeing with my take on that. You're right, Sean. She would have hit you with the samurai sword. Thank God I didn't have any. Emily Javier did exactly that. She's facing attempted murder charges. She told police in a 911 dispatcher she attacked and repeatedly slashed her boyfriend with a samurai sword. Here's the 911 call.
911, can I help you?
I just stabbed my boyfriend.
Okay, what is the address there? Okay, tell me what happened.
Okay. Now, the first thing I would say is you didn't stab your boyfriend. Stabbing with a proper samurai sword is an impossible task. Because I believe a proper samurai sword has a bit of a curve on it. Unless you're like poking them around the corner with the thing, you're not stabbing, you are slashing. Mm. You're like hacking at them with this thing. And if it's at all sharp, it's doing major damage.
Hey, is he awake?
I think he's dead. I think he's dead.
She said he cheated on me.
What is your name?
Emily.
Okay, he's not dead, by the way. Started. I'm splitting the call. Hold on just one. Okay, Emily, stay on the phone with me just a second, okay? Emily, stay on the phone. I'm splitting it for medical so we can get help started.
She's
for
losing
you, okay?
It right now. Oh, God. And she thinks he's dead. He's not dead. She chopped him up pretty good, but he's doing okay. In an interview with police after the attack, she claimed she found a Tinder dating app on his phone and also fumed over his penchant for playing too many video games. If you're listening and you do those two things, be aware. You could get slashed with the samurai sword. Lovell admits he may spend a bit too much time in front of a computer screen, but he insists he never cheated. I barely had time to hang out with my girlfriend, let alone another girl, he said. He said he was playing something called Player Unknown's Battleground, which I think they call PUBG in the computer world. Huh. A computer game where players parachute onto an island, gather weapons, and blow each other to bits. He spent all of his time doing
good
this.
Good thing for that to bits there. Just really good for...
Who knows? I'm still thinking the same thing.
He also said, I wasn't a sweaty nerd, more of an eathlete. An eathlete, a person who has an intensive online gaming regimen. He said, I'm not on Tinder. I'm too short for Tinder. Tinder is a tall guy's game. There was a lot of quotes in here. Lovell said he woke up to being attacked by Javier. So he was sleeping when she started attacking him with the samurai sword. His instincts kicked in, and he drew on a lifetime of kung fu films and martial arts training. I was able to Wing Chun my way to survival, he said. He Wing Chun'd his way through this. during the 911 call. That's what's stuck in my head right now.
Okay. Emily, what's your last name?
Javier.
Okay, where did you stab him?
He was sleeping.
No, where on his body? Where on his body?
Everywhere.
Okay. Can you get a clean, dry cloth or a towel and put it right on the wound?
Find a Band-Aid?
Yeah. Can you go in there? You say that you've sliced him to bits and that everywhere on his body he's bleeding and he's probably dead.
How many bits?
Can you get a couple of rags? Head in there with a roll of paper towels and see what you can do to help out this guy that you cut up here. She is headed to jail for quite some time because of this, and he is recovering. He's single now. And he says, I guess he's missing some fingers.
Oh, wow.
His index, middle, and ring fingers were nearly lopped off at the base. I guess they were able to reattach those, though. He has deep lacerations on his feet and his legs and may have fractured his right wrist, which is in a cast. And I guess that he can't play video games right now. Aww. That is unfortunate. He Wang Chung'd his way, though, out of that thing. Everybody Wang Chung. I didn't know that was an actual martial art thing. I just thought that was something that some white guy put in a song to sound like an Asian thing.
Oh.
Because that's sort of what that whole song's about, right?
Yeah, and something that everyone like that can do it.
Yeah, everybody Wang Chung tonight. Or is Wang Chung a dance?
I thought it was a dance.
You don't know this song, Sabrina?
No. I'm saying the term.
Oh, I thought
I'm very familiar with the song.
Thank God. This one here? Oh, yeah. This is how he got himself out of this. The picture of the samurai sword swinging. He's Matrix-style ducking that thing. Getting out of the way. Oh, man. I need to learn a little more Wang Chung just in case things go south at some point in time.
You can dance all days.
No, I'll try that. There is a message from a teacher going viral. In a week where we had students involved in walkouts that were protests of gun violence around the country. And these students went out, and mostly there were no incidents. I know there was a couple of things here or there. A couple of kids were being idiots. And they try to pin that on all the kids when this happens. If you don't agree with them, it's these kids' right to do this stuff. And sure, you can shame them all by saying you just want to get out of class, but I bet some don't. A teacher, though, had a different message, and that message has gone very quickly viral this week. She's from Arcadia Middle School, and her name is Jody Katsatos. And she wrote something on a dry erase board, and it's gone viral, as I said. Here's her message. Hashtag walk up, not out. And she said, it should be a national school walk up. What can you do? Walk up to the kid who sits alone and ask him to join your group. Walk up to the kid who never has a voluntary partner and offer to be his or hers. Walk up to your teacher and thank them. Walk up to somebody and just be nice. Talking about how sometimes it's these outcast kids who end up getting involved in the shootings, which many people believe was something that was an active reason why the Stoneman Douglas shooting actually happened.
Yeah, but do you guys remember Emma Gonzalez? That's something that'll ring with me all the time. Like, there's still a big difference, though. I mean, it's a nice message, but at the same time, like, we didn't know this kid like they did.
Oh, she didn't know this kid. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that, like, they immediately were like, well, you know, need to be nicer to the outcast kids and need to be aware of that because, you know, they could turn and bring a gun in,
yeah,
too. But they're all saying, like, you didn't know this kid like we did. You know, he was the one that was taking pictures and putting on social media with,
sure,
all the guns and all that stuff. So definitely be aware, and it works out in the future to be nice to outcasts and kids that are not being treated properly. But there's also, you know, definitely a bigger issue that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I mean, none of this is fixed with anything simple. I mean, this has got to be a very complex thing to deal with. Let's talk to Kelvin. Go ahead, Kelvin.
Hey, guys. Hey, the guy that got is talking about his karate move. There, yeah, is a Wing Chun in karate.
Yeah?
We practiced that before along with Krav Maga.
You practice Wing Chun?
Just a little bit.
What's it look like? Dance attack?
It's defense techniques and stuff that you can use, and that's what that is. But, I mean, yeah, but for him to, he must have played a lot of video games to say that he wins Sean his way out of it. He must have done that quite a bit.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, thank you, Kelvin. He somehow got out of it, got out of that whole situation, and was able to get to some help and get his fingers put back on. Just imagine getting hacked, even just once, by a samurai sword. That is a very, very nightmarish situation.
Yeah.
And now Wang Chung is just stuck in my head.
Apparently, everybody's reaching out to me and asking if I've ever seen this video of these drunk guys, and one of them's holding a hot dog in his mouth and telling the other to chop it off with a samurai sword.
Oh, no. I've seen that. No, did you watch that?
He ends up getting the tip of his nose.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But
there's a reason why samurai swords are mostly kept in the hands of experts, or you would hope. Because when folks like that get it, it turns into a real mess, and people end up getting hurt. Well, luckily in this case, the bad people have been cuffed and arrested, and that relationship is completely over. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From the... Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
No, we're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness. We're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness.
I want to come to the defense of this IHOP waitress in the news who was fired in just a second. But it's an important thing to remember. When you get a little bit of fame, you need to understand what your wheelhouse is, and you need to understand what you're good at, what you're not good at. And Susan Sarandon is a fantastic actress. She is. A color commentator, she is not. And when you get into the world of sports, and in particular, as we have learned time and time again on this program, if you talk about sports and you don't know what you're talking about, people get very heated. They get angry about this.
It alerts them simply if they're driving through the listening area enough to even call and correct you without even knowing the name of the show.
They'll just hear like a little, just a sentence, and they'll go, nope, incorrect, bam, and they'll jump all over you.
That's why we're so forthcoming about and honest and transparent.
You need to be.
About our lack of knowledge.
I don't think any of us would call ourselves super fans of any particular major sport. I'm speaking for myself here, at least.
I am a super fan of soccer.
Yeah?
And there was a time there where my father would only take us to Marlins games. So at that point, I'd say I was a baseball fan, too.
When I say super fan, I feel like somebody who knows a lot about soccer, actually knows a lot about soccer, would question you, and you would not know a lot of the things.
But would they question me if they see me at every single game?
Being there is part of it, and then being knowledgeable is another part, and then being a super fan is like a whole nother level.
Super fan is like talking to another super fan at the bar, and like, you know, if so-and-so would really up his passing game, then maybe they'd be able to run this defense, and, you know, like, I will go to all of the games and watch and have a good time and drink the beers, but I'm never going to be the analyst.
I'm never going to say we. Super fans say we. They'd be like, oh, did you see the new running back we got? You see the new guy we've got at center? You got they say we, like everybody's on the same team there. Well, Susan Sarandon is apparently a celebrity super fan of NHL and the New York Rangers. Somebody pieced together for the like 8 or 10 minutes she was on the broadcast during the hockey game, all of the comments she made. And I feel bad for her because people were just ripping her to shreds for this. And she just went out there probably to enjoy the game. This was her contribution to the entire NHL broadcast as a celebrity superfan.
Wide on a close call is Cody.
Whoa. Oh, oh. Whoa, oh.
Crosby with 6 goals, 10 points in his last six against
a lot of woes.
Rolling in.
A lot of O's.
against Carolina was on the left in the late stages of that game.
Ah.
One shot. Oh. Hornquist.
Oh.
And another pass. And
oh.
The Rangers
oh.
Skated out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deflected. Oh.
Oh, oh my God.
Chaotic down there, isn't it?
I mean, so far, other than the introduction,
oh.
All we've heard, whoa, oh. Whoa, is probably what I would do out there. I'd go, oh, no. What if they ask me a real question about this?
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy.
One shot, oh. And they're trying to catch up to it. And just get it to the left, and that's just what you want.
It's really fast, and it's so much fun to see, you know, everybody close up and feel all the pressure. But in the beginning, the lights and everything was crazy. It was like being with the Rockettes, people going
yeah.
in and out, being just crazy. I love it. Hey, you know, I think it's a good idea. Young guys are fabulous, and they're hungry, and they're foolish, and they're makes for an exciting game.
Okay.
So I'm patient, definitely. My favorite hockey movie, oh, probably the one, you know, what is it called? Slapshot? Is that what it's called?
Slapshot! At least you landed on a hockey movie. I would have said, oh no, I'm forgetting it.
Sean would have said, my favorite hockey movie.
Mighty Ducks.
Is Angels in the Outfield.
No, I probably would have screwed that up.
It reminds me of Sergio Dipp when he was on the field for ESPN. And I'm pretty, isn't Sergio Dipp an athlete? But it was his first time, and he had to report on the football game happening at the time.
The Spanish guy?
Beth, coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys. Here on the field, from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL, and here he is having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
I like that guy.
I liked him too.
I want to bring him back. I like the people who don't know as much about what's going on the sideline. He's right there on your TV.
I feel like it helps a lot. You know, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that watch sports, just like the three of us, that don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do enjoy the energy at a live game or even at the bar. So why not have that commentator that represents us?
You have somebody in the booth who's fully knowledgeable. And then somebody who's like, hey, what's happening right now?
I need, I'm the guy as the viewer that says what's happening right now. So I need the people on TV to be explaining what's going on, you know, if I'm missing.
Yeah, but what about they're going to take for granted that the audience just knows all this stuff
sometimes.
No,
the audience knows the stuff because they are telling you what's going on. I don't need the guy on TV to be as clueless as me.
I think there should be one extra person. Just one extra person each time who goes, hey, guys, and they should have a flag. Just like the referees have the flags that they can throw up in there, or the coaches have the flags to challenge the plays. You see how little I know about this? They should have that with somebody who doesn't know, and they throw the flag and they go, what's going on right now?
Yep.
And then they get a full download of what's happening on the field or the pitch or the ice.
Yeah, just like a little square on the corner of your TV. It's like, all right, guys, just for the idiots out there.
Mm-hmm.
This means this. And everyone collectively goes, oh.
Yeah. I think that would work out well.
Continue on with the game.
You bring a lot of new listeners on very, very quickly, and watchers and viewers and all the rest. And IHOP in Auburn is where this all went down. And I feel so bad for this waitress who is just ripped apart. And it shows you how social media operates.
Facebook,
and how
Instagram,
all these
Twitter,
companies respond to controversies now. This happens so fast. Let me give you the details. It's a 41-year-old woman who is a waitress at IHOP, and she has a table of teenagers come in pretty late at night. And when the teenagers sit down, she takes their order. They're black kids that are sitting at the table. That factors into this for a reason. And they order a lot, because I guess at IHOP, I don't even know how they did this. They said their bill was going to be $100 for four people. That's a lot of IHOP food right there.
You could spend $25 at IHOP, couldn't you?
That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
So they all ordered that, and because it was late at night, and because they were teenagers, the woman says, look, we've had some issues. We want to make sure you guys pay in advance because of the bill. So she goes over to the table and goes, we want you to pay in advance. And they go, are you kidding me? And then, whatever plays out. Afterwards, some guy who was nearby goes to his Facebook page, and he starts typing along. And he goes, I cannot believe what I just witnessed at IHOP. This woman goes over to this table, and because these kids were black, she says, I need you to pay before you eat. It's unbelievable that racism is still alive and well in this country. And IHOP suspends her for a week. Then IHOP apologizes profusely. Then IHOP and the corporate officials that were apologizing ordered her to be fired. So this woman, her life is turned upside down as a result of this news story saying IHOP is apologizing.
Says they have zero tolerance for discrimination after a main waitress reportedly asked a group of black teenagers to pay up front for their meal. The Auburn restaurant says they've had problems with teens walking out without paying, but the restaurant says the waitress's actions were wrong. The chain says Tuesday's incident was isolated. They're also reaching out to the teens to apologize and are closing the location for tomorrow for training.
So they're closing the location. They're doing some racism training for the employees that are still there. They're apologizing profusely. They suspended her and then they fired her. And all of this happened because of this comment on social media and the backlash. Now, you realize a lot of times that if you see somebody's post and they're just so upset about something that just happened, you might not know the whole story. You might not know what happened. And people just don't care. They're just so ready to get pissed off.
Like the person posting probably doesn't know the whole story.
The person posting and then the people responding in many cases have no idea what's going on.
The people responding are assuming that the person posting knows everything about the story.
Absolutely right. And so when you see this kind of stuff happening, don't just run and grab the torches and try and get rid of somebody else and shame them when you don't know.
Man, I take it back. I would have to order a significant amount of food to get to $25 at IHOP. I'm looking through the menu right now, and like the most expensive dish is the country fried steak or the roasted turkey and fixings, and that's just $10.59.
Yeah.
So for four kids to get to a tab over $100, that's significant.
She said it was sending up several red flags. They're teenagers. Teenagers do the dine and dash thing. They are there very late at night. That's when the dine and dash stuff happens. Usually when somebody's going to do a dine and dash, they'll over order food and get a bunch more than they actually needed. And these kids who were sitting there, she thought, might be apt to do this. So she asked. Now, what we don't know, what nobody knew who just went nuts and led to the firing of this lady, is that she's a 41-year-old mother. She's in an interracial relationship. The woman's not racist in the slightest, but has gotten in trouble in the past when people have dipped out on their checks and have been told that this is one way to handle all this stuff. And now everybody is saying she's a bigot who went after these kids because of the color of their skin. And the company's not there to defend her. Companies will ditch you so quickly, man. They will leave you in the dust when people are angry about something.
Of course. But unfortunately, it's because the majority, or at least the stories like this in the past, have been because of race.
Yeah, but everything should be looked at on an individual basis. We're talking about somebody's job here.
100%. I don't, you know, I would completely look at the story differently if it was on account of one of the boys that was sitting there at the table who knew very well that they were being treated that way because of the color of their skin. I think the person on the outside had made that assumption really has created more of a mess than anything.
Yeah, and that post on Facebook is what started all of this. The woman says, I made the decision on my own, not knowing it would have the consequences that it did. I was ignorant, yes, and I got punished for it. I'm sorry those customers got offended, but it wasn't racial anything. She said that one of them at the time said, I totally understand, no problem at all. They have not located the customers, but they also assured the waitress that they would indeed be coming back to the restaurant again soon. This 41-year-old just completely drummed out of her job, and she doesn't even have her say, like, hey, look, guys, I didn't do this because of the reasons you thought. Everybody's already opened the case and closed the case without her being involved. Let's talk to Plum Crazy. Go ahead, Plum Crazy.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, listen, I worked for Denny's back in the 90s when they had that discrimination case back then. And what I've seen to find out is people are looking for any reason to cause issues. I mean, when they had to sell them and go out, people got $13. They were pissed off about that. I just think people need to sometimes sit back and understand. These restaurants go through a lot. I mean, they go through a lot.
Sure.
People come in and walk out and don't pay their bills.
Yeah, especially when you got somebody there who's working that later night shift and somebody who's dealt with people who are ripping them off or just being complete jerks to them over and over again. Just remember, sometimes there's more to this stuff than you hear. And you just, everybody is so ready. We're in this environment now. You're just so ready to get mad. Who am I mad against next? What am I mad about? Who am I going to get fired? And there's a time to do that and a time to take note of what actually happened. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Storytime with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie. Why won't you let me go? Do I threaten all
your plans? I'm insignificant. We'll get to your dispatches in just a moment. My God, this lady's been in the news before. And I believe, I'm almost positive, she got not only a Mother of the Day award here on the show, but I think she might have got like a Mother of the Year kind of award on the show.
And she's going for a twofer?
She's going for a twofer. Normally, you hear Sabrina sing Mother of the Year, and that's your swan song. You're done from there. You don't pop back up in these news stories ever again. She's trying for a twofer here.
Two-time Mother of the Year.
It was the first time ever for that. Patricia Ann Spann deserves it, though. 46 years old, and this is the woman who was in the news before for marrying her own son.
Yes.
She abandoned her own family and then went back and reconnected with him and married her own son. Married this kid. And then was arrested for like incest and all that kind of stuff. She's now arrested for marrying her daughter.
What?
The woman who married her son, then went to jail for it, is now arrested for marrying her own daughter, Patricia Ann Spann, 46 years old, and her biological daughter, Misty Velvet Dawn Spann, 26, got married in the town of Lawton about 17 months after same-sex marriage became legal in the state of Oklahoma. To get around the potential snag of their shared family name, Patricia Spann listed her name as Patricia Ann Clayton on their marriage license application. For her part in marrying her daughter, 2 years after she was legally allowed to contact her children following an annulled marriage to her biological son, Patricia Spann will serve time in jail, this time charged with incest.
How has she convinced both of her children?
I don't know.
To do that.
I think there's something to this, because we have had multiple stories about people whose parents abandoned them. And then when they were mature and in their lives, in their 18, 19, 20-year-old range, parents come back into play. There's something weird that happens there sometimes.
Question. Did she have to divorce her son?
Yes.
Got annulled.
Oh, no, they annulled this. They just wiped it out. And then I think they're going to do the same thing here.
If she was still married to the son and she married the daughter, now they got her for polygamy, too.
Polygamy with both of her kids. It's pretty astounding that that's a thing, but she is once again back in the news for this, facing up to 10 years in prison for the incest charge in Oklahoma. So there you go. Wow. Try not to do that again. I think she's all out of kids, which is a good and bad situation.
Watch out, cousins.
Oh, my God, man. Now, that is just really disturbing to hear stuff like that happening. Here is Limp Wiener with a dispatch.
Hey, guys, what's up? I've been married to my wife for 3 years. We've been together for four, and I feel as if I'm one more drunken episode away from being attacked with a samurai sword.
Yeah.
I work in a mine now, and there's constant dynamite explosions for blasting, and as an operator, we have to continuously look for fractures in the ground to avoid sinkholes and stuff like that, or collapses, and I'm more apprehensive about going home than I am about coming to work. y'all pray for me.
Yeah.
Love you, Jody. Limp Wiener out.
I think you're going to be okay. Limp Wiener working in the mines.
You and Fisty McTurd Nipples have a solid thing there, and you'll be fine.
Does Fisty McTurd Nipples work in the mines too for real, or are you just making this up?
No, I meant...
That's his wife's name.
That's the...
There's so many things going on here.
He signed up his wife for
I forgot about that.
It's hilarious. Like, I did stand-up earlier this week, and there was a bunch of chatters that showed up, which was super awesome. But I'm getting the rundown from Tommy Awesome, and he's like, yeah, Buck is over here, and then Fat Lips, then Dingus Burger, and I'm just, he's saying all these things, and anybody that's eavesdropping into the conversation is like, what the hell are they talking about?
It sounds like we're in a really weird motorcycle club sometimes. Everybody has nicknames, but they're not nicknames like Snake and Bullet Face and Trucker Tom. They're much more weird, like Limp Wiener. So you say, like, oh, I'm just hanging out with Limp Wiener over the weekend. Very weird, unless people know about the show and the fact that you can send dispatches in.
Snakes.
It's very weird. What?
Snake? Snakes.
Snake? Snake. Yeah.
I know that name, Snakes.
You know it. And it's a second Home Alone reference on the show today. Here's Pizza Peisenberg.
Whiskey Chodes, checking in quickly just to tell Sean thank you. Thank you for justifying my choices to grow up and be an adult and give up on video games, as well as soon as I got serious with my girlfriend. You know, the Ecuadorian one I mentioned yesterday that you jerks all ragged on me for.
Oh, you
do. Yeah, I remember. I gave up Tinder as well.
Do.
Bumble, all of that stuff. So I think I should be safe. I'm in the clear. And that should leave me free to see you guys tomorrow. Super excited and can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Unless I get murdered by a samurai chancleta tonight.
No, you don't want that.
But don't listen to me. I'm hammered, and I love you.
Thank you, Pizza Peisenberg. Here's Rob Ross.
You want to know about Wing Chun? Watch the movies IP Man, and it'll show you how even Bruce Lee got started.
IP Man?
Actually, pretty cool.
I don't think I heard of that one. But thank you.
Gross. Go to the bathroom for that.
Here's Denise.
Homeless D here.
Oh, Homeless D.
I didn't get back to you after the Okeechobee festival because I was in the hospital having back surgery. I'm out now. Still hurting a little bit, but I hope everything went good for y'all that weekend. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Feel there better. You go.
Oh, she sounds better than she did last time we talked to her.
Yes.
She was drunk sounding last time.
Oh, maybe because she was about to have major back surgery.
Could have been the medication for that or whatever. But that dispatch right there proves something to everybody out there listening to the show. You have no excuses. She's homeless, and her dispatch sounded crystal clear. Perfect, no wind, everything was nice. Good work, Homeless D. Here's Maddie Hatter.
Hey, guys. I just came in at the tail end of that discussion about the potentially racist server, so not 100% what's going on there. But in the vein of people like wanting to be angry about things all the time, absolutely correct. I at least once a day somebody accuses me or one of my servers or bartenders of being racist for IDing them, for telling them that we don't accept cash, which is true, or you know, a variety of other things where
that?
You know, we're just either following the company policy or the literal state law about alcohol consumption, and people will grab whatever is closest to them.
Hurl it
at
you.
My favorite one is that I was once on the 4th of July, I was called racist. I'm a white woman. I was called racist by a white British family.
Okay.
Ironically enough, on the 4th of July, because I wouldn't kick a Spanish family out of a table that was being served by a black server so that they could have it.
All right. Well, that there's no logic there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to even connect the dots to what somebody would be thinking in that situation. But can you not accept cash at a place? Are you allowed to do that? No cash accepted? I thought cash was legal tender, and if you have the... I'm always confused by
not,
that.
What if? It, but if it's posted saying we do not accept cash...
I know I've seen places that say that, for sure.
I mean, Uber doesn't accept cash.
That's true. Yeah, so I guess you can, as long as it's part of your policy. Here's C-Lane's buddy, Mo Money.
Hey, guys. It's insane to think that that guy would have come into Eve. I was part of that nightclub. We did have a very strict dress code, also very strict security. So I'm glad that we were able to stop that from happening.
Sorry about Omar,
it would have been a completely different scene downtown, you know, right in the middle of everything. But I guess, you know, things happen for a reason.
All right, there you go. Thank you, C-Lane's buddy, Mo Money. There are a lot of ways to get jobs, and being creative is always a very, very good opportunity to stand out with your job application. There's a guy who wants to get in to a gig for, I think, Sprite? Let me see. Hold on. We've all been there, they say. A tasty job is advertised. You got to have it. But how do you outshine all the other candidates? One bright spark came up with a particular bubbly application for a chance to work with Sprite, and this guy made a rap video. I've seen people in radio do this before. You do something with the package you send over to try to get a job to really stand out. My friend Duffy, and this was a little bit cringe.
Who's Duffy?
Duffy is a guy who used to do, well, I think he still does, a lot of voice work in Chicago. He's the guy with one arm I've told some stories about before.
Oh, one arm Duff.
Duffy was trying to get the job at WGN to do all their voice work.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent in his package with all of his stuff. And he goes, my package comes with these. And he sent Magnum condoms in the package.
Duffy.
When you want to go big... Ring me up.
Oh.
And I go,
those are the people you want to associate with, John.
He got the job. He somehow got the job. I don't know how it worked, but...
That's like starting with sexual harassment, almost.
It is.
It's like sexually harassing on your resume.
You get right in with that as quickly as you can. Here's what he said, this guy who wanted the job with Sprite. It's pretty damn creative. Here he is. Chase.
Hi, you probably never heard of me. I'm chasing, I really like to murder briefs. And the reason why I'm spitting with the urgency is I'm trying to write the copy for the currency. See, I really love the brand and I love the beverage. And I'm hoping that these corny bars will give me leverage. And you'll take a little chance on a dude from Texas. Let my carbonated copy be your refreshment.
That's good, right?
See, I got the best lines, call me Narcos. And I move the most skills, call me Barcos.
Yeah.
And my copy at the bottle sliding off the shelves. You would think that lemon lime was a holy grail. I got pencils, Cleos, lions dangling from my chain. OJ's love strips.
He sends this over to Sprite. I guess he works for some ad agency, Whedon Kennedy. Ditching the old-fashioned cover letter, Zreed submitted a ridiculously fun 3-minute rap video in which he rhymes about his fondness for Sprite and his all-around set of skills. So he talks about everything he's good at in this. And it was a winning effort. He scored full points and got the gig, so he did get the job.
That's awesome.
Good for you, buddy.
And he should.
And they said that he starts next month in April. On the music video, they said the new hire had demonstrated a mastery of Sprite's brand color palette. I think he should re-release a subtitles version. That would be my first assignment to him. There you go.
That's cool.
Just if you're going to get a job somewhere, just write a rap like this. Send it over. The problem is some jobs.
It's important. You have to have a rap like that. You have to have flow.
It's be good.
You have to have good production. I mean, don't go in there like, yo, I like Sprite, and you know that's nice. No, you could see right through that. Sprite doesn't want anything to do with that.
They're going
to
see the creativity in the product that you create. That's the important thing. Back in a moment with the next episode with Sabrina Stay Put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie. They said I'm
the next episode with Sabrina in just a second. Don't forget, if you love the show, support us. Go to GetSecretShows.com, and if you've already downloaded the News Junkie app, it's simple. You use that same information to log in and sign up for the uncensored Secret Shows right on the app. Tons of them in there, ready for you right now. If you want more of the show, go to GetSecretShows.com. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it, even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
Would have been a big nut to swallow. Kiss the lady on TV. All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Nothing.
Weather's nice.
It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey. There you have it.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
Indeed.
It was 2062 years ago.
Oh, my God.
44 B.C. that Julius Caesar was stabbed to death in the Roman Senate by a group of 60 conspirators. No theme song for that.
Your throwbacks are going way, 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 way back.
I'm just glad that my source has been able to pinpoint the exact date that this happened and that it's with such chill. Now, this you may recognize, it was 46 years ago, sometime after Julius Caesar was stabbed to death, that this came out, opened in theaters.
Oh, what is that?
Come on.
Oh,
Godfather.
Godfather is right. Give you a theme song you can't refuse.
Sorry.
Francis Ford Coppola made his masterpiece for $6 million, but that's like $36 million in today's money. So, you know, banking. And then part two and part three, mm-hmm. craziness.
It's a bunch of them.
Godfather, you know? I don't know anything about The Godfather, but
I don't think I've ever seen it.
What?
I know.
I haven't.
Oh, boys, you should watch it. Yeah. I mean, I had to watch it because of a class in school, but it was good.
I heard.
And people, you know, get really mad if you tell them you don't watch
classics
like
that. It's one of
those movies.
Yeah, it's one of those where you mention it and you say you haven't watched it and people jump all over you.
I don't know a lot about Godfather, but of course I know a lot about Queen Bey and Jay-Z. The On the Run Tour 2 this week. All the pre-sales started.
Yeah.
I was part of that. It was 9 a.m. early in the morning. I did not do any of my prep. I was just stuck to the screen and like thousands, hundreds of thousands of people losing my damn mind because Ticketmaster really, really screwed up.
Oh, it crashed or something?
Oh my God. And all the Bayhive is swarming and stinging right now over the Ticketmaster craziness. God. Now, when the pre-sale started, yes, because Bees, Bay. Hive, got it?
I get it.
Like, Twitter had lit up with complaints. Social media all around had, because some people lost out on the Ticketmaster when it all crashed. Others missed out, no matter how quickly they got in. And then, 9:01, tickets are already up for resale. Like, scalpers had gotten in before fans could actually.
Oh, they always do.
But it's different considering this last year we've seen through the Taylor Swift concert, through, I think, another big... It was like Eagles and Jimmy Buffett that they were doing the fans being verified.
Yeah.
I mean, these pre-sales were through Tidal. And
it's still not working.
Still not working. One person tweeted, can you explain to me how there can be resale tickets available on your site within minutes of a pre-sale? You're allowing scammers to hike up ticket prices for true fans. Not cool, bro. How can all the Beyonce tickets be scooped up by 9:01? I thought we were trying to combat the bots. Well, Ticketmaster has yet to reply because they just made hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars in a matter of 1 hour. Turns out when you're kissed by this gal,
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, you might not like it. Now, Katy Perry kissed a boy in American Idol. His name was Benjamin Glaze, just like the donut. He's 19 years old, and he had never been kissed.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he decided to share on live television or pre-recorded television. Because the producers, of course, had pushed him to do so. That being said, Katy Perry took the opportunity to lay upon him his very first kiss. And now the New York Times has done a piece on it.
Yeah.
This is the audition here.
I'm a cashier at an electronics store. But I love it because sometimes there's cute girls, and they're not going anywhere without saying hi.
You get a cute girl to say hi to you, because they got to check out.
He has a racket already.
Wow.
Come on.
Have you kissed a girl and liked it?
No, I've
That's
never been
creepy.
In a relationship.
Really?
I can't kiss a girl without being in a relationship.
Come here, buddy.
Come on.
Come on.
Come here.
I'm surprised right now.
Come here.
What, on the cheek?
Mm-hmm. He didn't
weird.
Even make the smush sound.
Right. Okay. Let me start over.
And?
Oh!
Wow.
There it is.
Did you get him?
Yeah, I got him.
Katy!
Come on! And he fell down. He fell down.
He went.
You did it!
He fell.
Oh my gosh.
That's
a first.
Yes.
Sorry.
And you should be sorry, Katy, because the New York Times has been nice enough to let us know that the guy was uncomfortable. He wanted to save his first kiss. Or his first relationship.
Oh.
Not too much to ask. I wanted it to be special. If she had said, would you kiss me? I would have said no. Reports are going as far as saying that Katy should have recognized that because he grew up in a conservative family. And conservative family means that he was waiting for the first kiss with the first relationship.
All I'm saying, if that was a woman and this same thing would have gone on, there have been way more stories like that.
What do you mean?
If that was a female contestant and some guy judge was like, come on over here, I'm going to give you a kiss, and doing all that, and afterwards she said she felt uncomfortable about the kiss, there would have been way more stories than this.
Yeah, that being said, that tidbit is something that he mentioned at the initial audition portion of it. The producer said, hey, you got to go with that. Katy Perry might kiss you. I mean, I don't think it would have happened with a woman, but had it been a woman that had never been kissed and had been asked by Lionel Richie, may I lay one upon you? Well, it would have been okay.
The guy, I guess, is saying he was uncomfortable with it. I think if you're uncomfortable with it, say no. I'm not going to kiss her. Don't do that. But if this was the role reversal, people would have gone, no.
Well, for what it's worth, Benjamin says he doesn't consider it sexual harassment. So, Katy Perry, you are safe to move into that convent in California. Now, this has been going around.
Jeopardy?
This Jeopardy contestant did not mention he played this character in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory for $500.
Mike TV.
That is correct.
What is Mike TV?
Mike TV, Paris Thiemann. He's fulfilled his Willy Wonka character's obsession with getting on television. The former actor, 58, cowboy enthusiast Mike TV from Willy Wonka, 1971, the best film.
That's so weird. And he didn't say that he was from Willy Wonka on Jeopardy?
Kept it a complete secret. When the portion of the show came around, Alex Trebek had to ask, you know, what do you do? What's your life like when you're not on this TV show? He introduced himself as an entrepreneur and an avid backpacker. Revealed that he's traveled to 61 countries, but did not reveal he traveled to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
The most important destination.
I know that for when you're on Jeopardy, they have you list like a couple interesting things about yourself, and Alex just picks one. And I know because I've heard stories of the people who have been on Jeopardy for long periods of time, like the really big winners. Who was the guy that was like one
Ken
of the...
Ken Jennings?
Ken Jennings said he, like, ran out of interesting things to say about himself because he'd been on the show for so long.
Yeah, but there's no way Alex Trebek was going to skip over the fact that he was in Willy Wonka.
I wonder if he did that on purpose. I mean, somebody had to know.
Well, he ended up coming up in second place on the show with winnings $6,800, but not the Chocolate Factory at all. It was a Charlie. It was an audio quote from him. Now, being from a family that overshares as much as hers does, you rarely see Kendall Jenner with her boyfriends.
Yeah.
This is the model sister, the second oldest. I think Kylie's the youngest. And it's led to suggestions that she might be playing for the greatest team, and that is the lesbian team.
Okay.
But she's not. I repeat, she is not. So gay! Because in the new issue of Vogue, she says, I'm not gay. I have literally nothing to hide. I would never hide something like that. Besides being low-key in a relationship, Kendall thinks that there's another reason people assume she's gay. I have kind of a male energy. I don't want to say that wrong because I'm not transgender or anything. I just have a tough energy. So let it be clear, she is not transgender, and she is not gay.
Okay.
I don't think I have a bisexual or gay bone in my body, Kendall continues, but I don't know, who knows? I'm all down for the experience, not against it whatsoever. I've never been there before. She's supposedly been in a relationship with NBA star Blake Griffin. Tells Vogue, I have someone being very nice to me, so not a gay bone in her body, just Blake. And that's the latest. But I will tell you this, there's not the only person who's up for kissing girls. Jennifer Gardner got to lock lips with an actress named Natasha Malith in 2005 for Elektra.
Yeah.
And it was an education. She has now come out saying it was a great kiss. And I was like, oh, I get it. Women are softer. No wonder women kiss women. So there's hope out there.
Okay.
Maybe Kendall Jenner should get some advice from Jennifer Gardner. And not advice from...
Is it Jennifer Gardner or Jennifer Garner?
Garner.
Yeah. Garner.
Did I say Gardner?
Garner, yeah.
Well, maybe she likes the garden, too.
She might.
I don't know what she does. Advice from Jennifer Gardner, yes. Maybe not Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett. They have a beauty secret you might want to try, or maybe not. It's called a penis facial.
Hmm?
Yep. Kate says she and Sandra call it penis facial because it smells like number three. However, it does contain cells taken from, and I quote, the freshly removed foreskin of newborn babies in Korea. Okay. You know how much that costs?
Sounds expensive.
650 buckaroos. That's the treatment. They have text threads, which would blow your mind from celebs asking for the penis treatment all the time now. $650 to get Korean baby foreskin on your face. And it'll make you feel a lot better. On the boob tip. We have, of course, the rounds of basketball, NCAA.
Uh-huh.
Showtime at the Apollo is going to be on Fox. Lip Sync Battle, Jeff Ross and Rob Schneider. And You have a great weekend. Chodes, remember.
Smoke weed every day.
Hey, Sabrina, live trivia up next. If you'd like to play, now is the time to call 407-916-1041. Toll free 1-888-978-1041. Two callers head-to-head to battle it out for a prize. You're playing along in the News Junkie app, so get that fired up and ready to go. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The phone system is a fickle beast, but he'll still take your calls. You're listening to the News Junkie.
Live at trivia in just a moment. And make sure every day you have the app downloaded and ready to go, because it doesn't change. 105 is the time. Answer quickly, and if you would have played this week, paid attention, the prize for number one on the scoreboard at the end of the day tomorrow is tickets to Universal. So we're going to keep switching it out with great stuff like that. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
That's live trivia for a Thursday, March 15, 2018. Seven questions, two callers, head-to-head to battle it out for a prize. And those of you who are playing along on the app are playing right this second. Go! Answer quickly over there. Good luck. Let's get our players on the phones. Let's see. Jeffrey, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, Jeffrey, you're player number one. And over here, Dry, are you there?
I am.
Okay, easy enough. Jeffrey and Dry are players in live trivia today. Best of luck to both of you. Here we go with question number one. Stephen Hawking died early Wednesday, and in the months before his death, he issued a warning to humanity. We must leave Earth in this many years or face extinction. How many years do we have? 200, 500, 100, or 69 years? Jeffrey.
Oh, man. I'll go with 200.
200 for you. Dry, your turn.
100.
Number two, a startup company is pitching a mind-uploading service that will preserve your brain, but you have to be euthanized first. What's the preserve your brain and upload it company called? Is it Medulla Depot, Drop Dead Box, Cerebeloader, or Nectomy? Go ahead, Dry.
Nectomy.
Jeffrey.
Nectomy.
Number three, former Washington quarterback Joe Theismann went on a DC sports radio show to discuss the Redskins re-signing Kirk Cousins and attempted to use a common idiom, but he accidentally said this. Did he say it would have been a big nut to swallow, beat off the bush, come first, come served, or by the skin of your teat? Jeffrey.
Nut to swallow.
Okay, Dry.
Same thing.
Number four, a new engagement trend that's reportedly growing in popularity with millennials involves implanting a diamond into what? Into your eyeball, into the palm of your hand, into the area above your heart, or your ring finger? Dry.
Ring finger.
Jeffrey.
Ring finger.
Number five, in a new Esquire piece on Shia LaBeouf, the actor shares he was conceived in a sleeping bag, and his name, well, that roughly means this. To Shia LaBeouf means thank God for the beef, for the love of honey, just do it, or even Steven Seasons. Jeffrey.
Thank God for the beef.
Okay, what do you think, Dry?
Just do it.
Just do it for you. We go to number six, just two left. A Snapchat famous prostitute out of Los Angeles was arrested earlier this week and charged with recruiting minors to be hookers. What moniker does she go by? Carby D, Lady Fuzzkins, Pretty Ho, or Miss Manga de Tramp? Dry.
Buzzkin.
Jeffrey.
Pretty Ho.
Number seven, the final question. Yesterday we learned in order to gain and maintain their weight, sumo wrestlers eat a special stew, and it's so delicious, many of these sumo wrestlers open restaurants after they retire. What's it called? Bigos, Chankonabe, Gumbo, Gumbo-mbum, or Stew we Griffin. Jeffrey.
First one.
All right, stand dry.
Can you repeat the first two?
Bigos, Chenkonabe. Those are the first two.
Yeah, the first one.
All right, let's put you both on hold. We'll go over the questions and the answers. We'll find out who our winner is in live trivia today, the battle between Jeffrey and Dry. You ready to go through these, Sabrina?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Stephen Hawking died, but he said, we got to get out of Earth. And if we don't do it in this many years, we'll face extinction.
Dry said 100 years, and that answer was wrong. It was Jeff that said 200 years, and that answer was right.
The clock is ticking, people. We only have 200 years to get off this damn planet. And that's not a lot of time. Number two, a startup company is pitching a mind-uploading service. What's it called?
Both the players said Nectomy, and that answer was right to me.
Number three, Joe Theismann attempted to use an idiom, but he accidentally said this.
Both of the players had said it would have been a big nut to swallow, and that answer was absolutely correct.
On to number four, this new engagement trend for millennials has them putting diamonds where?
Dry and Jeff both said the ring finger, and that answer was holy right, Trimony.
Such a bad idea, yeah. This thing. Ooh. Hooked on one thing, and you think degloving of your fingers is bad? This is going to look even worse. In the new Esquire interview with Shia LaBeouf, he says his name means this.
Dry said, just do it, and that answer was incorrect. It was Jeff that said, thank God for the beef and running for your life. That was super right.
Number six, a Snapchat famous prostitute got arrested. What is her nickname?
It was Dry that said Lady Fuzzkins, and that answer was not right. Fortunately, Jeff said pretty ho. That answer was pretty correct.
The final question. Yesterday we learned about this sumo stew, but what's it called?
Both the players said Bigos and Hoyo. That was incorrect in sumo. The correct answer was Chenkonobi. We do have a winner of live trivia, and that's Jeff.
All right. Yeah. Congratulations, Jeff. You're the winner of live trivia. Hang on tight, my friend. You are going to get a prize in just a second. We got to get your information. What do we have today, C-Lane?
I have a pair of tickets to the Daytona 200, America's most historic motorcycle road race that's going down on Saturday at the Daytona International Speedway. Those tickets are available now, 1-800-PIT-SHOP, or visit DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com. For more information, if you want to get your hands on those. I also have a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Pacific Rim Uprising on March 20th at AMC Altamont 18. First came the monsters, then came the war. On March 23rd, a new generation will rise up. Legendary Pictures and Universal Pictures present Pacific Rim Uprising in theaters, Real D, 3D, and IMAX, rated PG-13.
Whoa, that sounds very, very exciting.
I know, that's why I said it.
In the exciting voice.
Yeah, in the exciting voice.
Let's go to the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
At the top of the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
What now?
News
Jumpy.
Just forgetting how to talk. With 2,535 points, Ask Holyo has the lead, followed by Took My Chevy to Levy, but the Levy was Bri, Laserblade, the Dita, Vamos Cactuar, Username, Fancy Nancy, Cuddle Hunter, Panta J. Loon, and Ball Death Dealer. The back five look like Lee Road, just the tip. Nate, oh gosh, that profile picture, very inappropriate. And Squirrel and Heather from California.
All right, thank you all for playing along. You too can get involved. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. When you search for that, you'll find a free download. It's a great companion to the show, so very easily you'll be able to see the things we're talking about on See It Now, play live trivia, send in dispatches, get on the show, do all that stuff. It's easy as can be to get involved. Don't forget, Friday, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, live broadcast at Elixir, downtown Orlando. First 200 people in are getting these specialty magnets for the event. And there's going to be a lot of fun stuff going on. Great prizes to be had. You should be there tomorrow starting at 11 o'clock as we broadcast live from Elixir to kick off St. Patrick's Day weekend. When we return, Elon Musk is a guy who does all kinds of cool things. And people let him do really amazing, mind-blowing things. And he's starting a brand new business. What is it? What's he up to? Where's he putting his billions in his brain now? The details on that. When we return, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio.
tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to The News Junkie.
We'll get to your dispatches. Those are sent through the News Junkie app in a moment or two. And we can squeeze those in. Elon Musk is always doing something that people are watching. And he's got SpaceX going on. He's got Tesla going on. He's got the Boring Company going on, which is where he's trying to make some tunnels under the streets of L.A. to make travel faster around California. They'll give this guy access to do things that seem pretty damn unbelievable. And now Elon Musk is spending his billions on something brand new. He's starting a media business. It's possibly going to be named Thud with an exclamation mark. And they've uncovered that Elon Musk tried to buy The Onion a couple of years ago. And for some reason, he has a real desire to launch a satirical website, like a, you know, like The Onion does with fake news stories. Huh. That are joke-based and based in satire. And so that's his next project. Of all the things you could have guessed, the guy goes into space, the guy makes these cars that are revolutionary, and the next thing that he does is Thud, perhaps, a magazine or a website that is going to be based on satire information. So there he goes. I mean, I guess he's got his hands full with the other stuff, so maybe he just wants something to laugh at during the day now. He just have something where he could chill, relax, and read a satire story and laugh.
Well, he's just bathing in gold and Tesla products.
Oh, man.
And making money off of a flamethrower.
Imagine his Tesla. What's inside Elon Musk's Tesla? He's got stuff probably that they're just like testing out, and he's got all the extras.
I like to imagine he sits in there and goes, "Hello, creator. Where would you like to go?"
It probably does. It's probably talking to him and doing all kinds of things that even if you are lucky enough to have a Tesla, your car doesn't do. Speaking of cars, there is a video that is people arguing in a really intense way. And I want to talk about this because, like many other things, a dash cam caught this footage. And I want to see what you guys think about this, Sabrina and C-Lane. And who you think was in the right and who was in the wrong here. So people have these dash cam cameras, and they put them right up on the front of the car. When you're driving around, it films everything. And then you only go back and get what you want. You save the stuff that you care about, and the rest of it just keeps recording over and over again. And this couple posted this online. And it's been shared all over social media. All over YouTube. So many views. And mostly just because of the arguments that this very video is sparking up. Now, so you're not just hearing things, you're seeing things. I want you to check out on the See It Now section of the app, the video in question. It's a couple, and they're pulling into, it looks like a parking garage type situation. And when they pull into the parking garage, they are about to pull into a spot. It's a little busy there. You know, there's a lot of cars moving around, a busy parking garage. And they go to pull into their spot, and bam, somebody runs in front of them and stands in the spot.
Okay.
And calls dibs on the spot without a car. They got out of their friend's car, hauled ass over to this parking spot, stood there where they were, and said, "This is my spot now. I have this.
I'm the captain now."
The people in the car were arguing, "Hey, you cannot hold a spot unless you have a car that you're pulling into the spot. Otherwise, the world will crumble. We have to have rules. We have to have guidelines to go by. And you have to have your car next in line with that blinker on to take the spot." This is the stuff fights are made of here. Here's some of the action as this went down. It's got a lot of people arguing.
"Are you kidding? No way.
You're not even in a car, woman. Are you serious?
No. Get out of here. Are
She's
you
just
kidding?
Standing in the spot.
"You're not in a car. Get out.
Where? I don't see no car. You're running to a spot right now. Are you serious?"
See, the couple is very angry at her. They're saying, "You don't have a car." She goes, "The car's right over there." She's jumped out of another car that wasn't next in line and stood in that spot. To me, that is completely and totally out of line.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have dibs on that spot. The only person who has the right to that parking spot is the next car that has a blinker on that's going to pull an actual car in there. It's just like when people will have their kid run out and stand in a parking spot on the side of the road while they get around or go around the block or something. No! No, you can't hold it.
Okay, but riddle me this. If that is a car who has been there for about 15 minutes doing rounds,
yeah,
and unable to get a parking spot because of the amount of cars there, and as soon as they pass,
sure,
one across the street, so they, this is, you know, their only choice,
uh-huh,
at that point.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to say I'm with the people standing in the parking spot.
Oh,
I know what it's like to struggle.
You got to get the cycle right. Sometimes it happens.
Losers, weepers.
They didn't find it.
They did find it.
No, they were nowhere, nowhere near the parking spot.
Blowing out people's speakers.
They ran over there. This woman ran over there to hold this spot without a car. You can't hold a spot without a car.
I don't know. It looks like she was, though, and people are just mad because they didn't think of it first.
Because nobody else has thought of this first. People have done this before.
Yeah.
I think they generally just get screamed at by people who go,
it's obnoxious.
That's against every kind of rule that we have in the parking lot. I understand the idea of you've been driving around longer. That's just one of the rules of the game. You got to hope that your timing and your cycle works out so you end up getting that spot before anybody else.
I mean, would you rather a car just stay there and wait for the other car to pull out and create a pile up, or have, you know, just an individual human standing there so the rest of the traffic could move on?
I'm saying that you can't have a player out of the car.
I just asked the question, though. Like, what would you rather happen?
You can't do either one. You can't just sit in place, and you can't get out of the car and run and stand in the spot. But you that's against all the rules of parking.
If somebody's leaving, you can sit there and wait for a little bit.
You're talking about, like, if you see people go into the car with their keys and they got some bags and they're ready to go.
Yeah, you put the,
if you're doing that,
you
that's
put the turn signal on, you're there. Your car is there, ready to accept the spot.
But if you just stopped and there's nobody even moving, I don't think that's the way to go about this. That's why they're yelling at everybody here.
Are you?
Are you kidding me?
You serious right now?
She won't get out of the spot.
Honk this.
Out of here.
The honking is not helping.
Dude, how are you going to stand in a spot right now? Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, I really don't give a to be standing here. You have no car here. This is a car parking spot, not a woman parking spot.
And now it's a standoff.
At one point, another lady shows up. And then I like the guy's attitude, because I think that if I had the time, I would do the same thing. He's like, fine, I'm not leaving. I've got all day. I'm just going to stand here. I'm just going to sit here.
Well, who do you think won that showdown? The woman in the parking spot.
Are you
damn
serious?
Right.
He gave up and drove away. He said, enough's enough. I'm going to go try to do something else and get another spot around here. And then posted it online.
Survival of the fittest.
And she just waited him out. Let's talk to AJ. Go ahead, AJ.
Yeah, the guy on the sideline, that was Joe Namath, not Joe Theismann.
Thank you, AJ. How are they're all getting past you today. They're all just weaving around.
How am I supposed to know this guy?
He's got a whole backstory. He's like, look, here's what I want to talk about. Here's what I want to say.
He said it happened to him this morning. He said a specific road.
This case here ended with the woman getting the spot. But you don't get to hold spots with your body. With your body, you get to walk around and do everything else you do in life. But cars are for parking spots. And that's what you have to pull into one of these damn things. So the argument over that continues. Go check it out on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app and see for yourself what you think. I know that's happened to so many people out there where you said, I'm sitting here waiting forever for a spot, and then somebody just tries to jump in before you. That is what leads to so much road rage. So many fights start that same exact way. Let's talk to Sonny. Go ahead, Sonny.
All the guy had to do was pull into the parking spot, right? Cars beat people, right?
We could just gonna plow into the person?
Well, if you drive slow, she'll move, or the car will push her.
He was
just not laying down. He can't run her over.
He was honking. He didn't drive the car any further forward. Like, he pulled into the space a little bit. You would have just ran right over?
No, I wouldn't have ran her over. I'd have pushed her with the damn car, though.
Yeah, see, then I think you end up with some charges against you. She goes, oh, I'm sitting here. This is my spot. How dare you try to take it from me? And then they say, oh, look, she's got this bruise on her thigh right now. See, that's what happens. And then it turns into something a lot more difficult and intensive than you would imagine. Let's go to your dispatch and see what's going on in your world. Here is Micronaut with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. You were talking about stores going out of business and having blowout sales and all this. Is there a mattress store in this state or in this country that is not going out of business or having a big outlet sale?
It's tricky.
It's just insane. Every single one of them going out of business. I'm surprised there's any left. Have a good one.
Yeah, we were wondering with the demise of Toys R Us if they were going to end up having one of these last minute, oh my God, we're liquidating, we're out of business kind of sales. And I was talking about how you see that all the time. It's always in these little shopping malls. It's always some kind of furniture store. And they are, all the alarm bells are going off. They're going, we are closing down today. Final day, 99% off. And then you see it that way every single week. Eventually you realize what's going on. Here's I Have an English Accent.
I got some English sayings for you. Oi, you use it in different ways. Like, oi, you bloody idiot. Or, oi, you're a wanker. Or maybe a tosser. Deuces.
All right, thank you. I don't know what half that stuff meant, but thank you. Let's go to Big Mo. Go ahead, Big Mo.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, go ahead.
Sorry about the background noise. I'm at work, but hey, check this out. You know about this spot holding, right?
Yeah.
Well, you ever, like going to Walmart and the lines are long, you say, hey, listen. You know, you tell your significant other, say, listen, wait in line. I'm going to go grab everything we need.
All right.
By the time I come back, you know, we can just slide right up to the front because somebody's been waiting in line. You ever done that before?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, but that's a people in people spots, not in a car spot.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I do kind of agree with that. It's like, you know, they're just trying to, I don't know, it does sound like a pretty crappy thing to do. You know, it's kind of disrespectful, which would definitely get everybody all heated up.
But I'm not talking about if you're at Publix and you run inside and the other person drives around looking for a parking spot and then they're checking out and you get in line next to them. It doesn't really do anything to screw up my day.
Right, but I mean, if we're talking about the general rules of peopling, then I think that would be against the rules of grocery shopping.
If you were in a parking lot and somebody, while you were about to pull into a spot, stood in that spot and said, me and my friend are going to park here, you can't park here, you're telling me you wouldn't be positively livid?
No, I would say, congrats, you win this round.
You never say that. You would say, like everybody else,
congratulations, you have won this game of peopling. You may have this parking spot. Awkwardly stand there while people give you dirty looks.
I know that sometimes people get pissed off about, like, if you're at a theme park and you're in line and somebody else goes and runs to the bathroom or whatever, and they'll get angry about it. But it's just a totally different ball game than the parking spot, especially since there's so few of them. And everybody has that one parking lot in your neighborhood, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where you have such a shortage of spots that this is a recurring thing. Like, it happens all the time to you. And that's the one in particular where you're so territorial about all of this stuff. And you would never let somebody take that spot. But she wouldn't move, man. That guy's screaming at her right away. They get into that.
Are you kidding?
You're kidding me?
No way.
You're not even in a car, woman. Are you serious?
No, no, get no. Get out of here. Are you kidding?
She was unrepentant about taking
car.
That spot.
Get out.
Where? I don't see no car. You're just
you
running to a spot right
kidding
now.
Me?
Are you serious? Are you...
The battle online was definitely won by the people in the car. The battle in the parking lot was won by the woman who just stood there and took all the nonsense until finally they ended up getting the spot because there was a give-up moment. You can't give up. You have to press on. Continue honking. Say she's standing in my spot and I cannot park right now.
I would have liked to think. Now, and maybe they had somewhere to be, but I would have liked to think that I would have just stayed there, preventing them from parking.
Yep.
And then just played chicken with them because you
camp out.
It's the same thing about wasting the scammer's time.
Yeah.
I would like if they're going to be that petty. I'm going to be right there with you.
You can win this battle, but it's going to take you a lot longer than you think it is. That's the best way to handle this. So check that out. It's in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. You can see the exact video we're talking about right now. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. If you ever need to talk, he'll pretend to listen. You're listening to the News Junkie. I push and intend to shove on.
I can tell you this, the new video from the Parkland school shooting does nothing to make a case for this officer who said, well, I wasn't being a coward. I don't know what you're talking about. I was establishing a perimeter. I was pulling up a defensive position. They released the video from Stoneman Douglas. Broward County Schools pushed this video out, and you see this police officer who had a gun, who is the only one right there on campus, who had a weapon and was ready to go. And you just see him wandering around. He's wandering around and he walks over here, he looks over there, and then he stands and he's obscured by a pole for a bit of it, but he's just standing there listening to shot after shot go off. And that's when he said he was in some kind of tactical position. I don't see that. I don't think anybody watching that could say, oh, but there he was. He was ready to go at any moment. He would have gone in there. He was in a tactical position. And then other things that were released show that this police officer, Scott Peterson, who is now currently retired and says all this stuff about him is not true. He's not a coward. He didn't do anything wrong. He said he thought the shooting was going on outside the building. So then you're supposed to just kind of hunker down in place when that's happening. And the video and the police scanner audio that they've also released shows that that wasn't the case. He knew exactly what building this was going on in. So they're just trying to kind of recreate a situation where this guy isn't a complete coward. And in all the videos, you see him. You see him standing there, standing around, and just kind of trying to figure out what to do. Like it's his first day on the job or something. The moment that the guy was needed, the moment when everything went south and the kids needed his help and people were dying, yeah, you know, I'll wait. I'll get in there at some point in time, maybe.
I'm going to come up with excuses while I wait out here.
He's just sitting there. You see this? He just, in the video, he's just sitting by the pole, just waiting. And these minutes that go by in this video, it's like 2 minutes. That's the most valuable time in the world to anybody who had a kid in those buildings.
Yeah.
That's the time that mattered right there.
Especially to anybody who lost a child.
Well, imagine that. Buildings. Oh my God, I can't imagine how mad I would be. If my son died in that school shooting, and there I see this police officer, this resource officer, just standing there doing nothing. I know it's not as simple as that. I know there is somebody, the shooter, who's namely to blame for all of this stuff. But I can't tell you that wouldn't make my blood boil to watch that video and know that while my kid was hiding in a broom closet somewhere, this police officer wasn't doing a damn thing. So that doesn't help him out very much, I wouldn't suggest. Let's talk to Right Side Scott. Are you there, Right Side Scott?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, actually.
You sound all right, but you always sound all right when we start talking to you. And then you just completely trail off into nothingness.
Yeah, I forgot about problem with that.
What's
easy to talk right, but I guess.
Oh, there we go. Already happening. For those of you who don't know Right Side Scott, by the way, he had a bus. Was it a full-size school bus that fell on you?
It was like a city bus, like a charter bus. It was like a city, but real low.
Like a big, gigantic city bus?
Yes.
And you were working on it, and what happened? Did was there a jack that fell down or something?
Well, basically, because of the positioning of the bus and how I had to try to jack it up, I had a hard time getting a board underneath the jack.
You had a hard time getting a board underneath the jack.
The only way I could get a jack underneath the bus was to put it on what I thought might work as a concrete bar. There were some stones underneath, some like gravel, big stones. And I tried to put them in a pack them together, make like a little
no idea.
Like, I tried to make the rocks into like a pad and try to put the jack on that, but it didn't.
Oh, yeah. That didn't work out for you.
Yeah, it was a stupid idea.
It fell on you, and now you're in a wheelchair, and half of your body doesn't work. Is there something exciting happening in your life this week?
Not really this week. Now, next week, I've actually got a lunch date, which is next week.
Whoa. All right. Tell us. Where give are you us going? The juice.
Well, first, I want a doctor and her. I'm going to try to stop somewhere off, either a restaurant or something, to hang out.
All right. Pause. Anybody get any of that?
He's going to the doctor?
You going to the doctor first?
Yes. She's actually accompanying me with a doctor, and then out to the doctor's house, we're going to go find something to do.
Nice.
Either bar or restaurant.
Okay, so go to the doctor first, and then maybe go out and have some drinks, have something to eat.
Are you paying?
Well, yeah, I'm going to see if I have to get some money to borrow my phone. Man, I'm broke right now, but give me some money.
I mean, I'm sure she's going to be driving you to the doctor, or you could at least pay for lunch.
No, she's not going to be driving me. She's scheduled a transport vehicle.
All right, so somebody's going to go out there and pick him up. And then what's going to happen after now? Maybe you guys have had a drink or something, you had something to eat, and you going to... You gonna go back to her house? Or?
No, unfortunately, no. She's actually married.
Oh my God! Scott.
You can't call it a lunch date if she's married.
Not a lunch date. Somebody's just escorting you to the doctor.
We're just really good friends, but she's really sweet with me and really nice to me, and I appreciate her very much. I do like her, and I have a feeling she likes me, but because she's married, she's not willing to do anything other than be friends.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how that would get in the way. All right, right side, Scott. Good luck with that. I'm sitting there thinking, this is maybe the moment for him. Like, something's going to happen here. All the buildup leads to right side Scott finding somebody. Then she's married. Mm-hmm. That's not a date. You're not going on a date with her.
Yeah. Does her husband call it a date, too?
Yeah. She's taking you to the doctor's office. That's what's happening there. It's not going to get romantic after that.
If her or her husband listen to this show.
Oh, good God.
Awkward.
We're going to make it even more weird. I saw something last night that was, and I wouldn't encourage anybody to actually look to find this video, but it's not the first time, nor will it be the last time, that I've seen something like this. Out of nowhere, video pops up, and it's some kid from the website 4chan, which, despite what CNN wants you to believe, is not a hacker. It's not the name of just a sole hacker out there. 4chan is an image board, and there's people with all sorts of interests on there. The most popular boards are about video games or anime. There's a random board where things are basically not safe for work all the time, and there's some really aggressive things on there. And then there's a political board on there as well. But one of the boards that people don't usually travel to on 4chan is one of the most interesting places on the internet. That board is called R9K. I don't know why it's called R9K. But the guys who go on there, they call themselves robots, and they're like incels. I don't know if you guys have heard any of these terms before. They're guys who they're virgins and they don't have relationships with any girls,
mm-hmm.
and they blame women for a lot of this stuff.
Like the shooter, the sorority
Elliot, what's his name?
I don't know.
I don't think he went to that website, but it's sort of like that, where there was an aggression towards women for not having any love in their lives. And they talk about other stuff too, but it's mostly about being a robot. And this guy kicks up on this stream. Turns out he was an 18-year-old, and he set up like a tarp behind him so there wouldn't be a mess. And just in the middle of this, kills himself with all the people from the website watching him and like kind of cheering him on.
That sucks.
And you look at the messages that people post. Like, if you go by and see the messages, you go, oh my God, like, I get being dark, I get being funny in like a dark way, but man, this is a real person. And I watched it, and I've seen a bunch of that stuff before, and you hate to see that. Hate to see somebody ruin their life over a bad decision, a terrible decision, in fact. But the worst part was, I think the kid was Canadian, because his mother comes in after everything's all said and done, and she's on the phone with 911, and saying, maybe we can help him. They said, where's the assailant? The mom goes, there is no assailant. My son is dead. Terrible, terrible stuff. And you see this now popping up all over the internet today on all the sites that have viral videos and the shocking stuff. Do not watch it.
I don't want to see that after, what was the last one we saw where the guy, he didn't kill himself, but I think he had a heart attack while he was,
Yeah, he was a cam man.
Yeah.
It was a cam star? I don't remember.
He was an old man.
He was a star.
Oh, yes. The older guy who was on the live stream and the sexual activity, I guess, like kind of took him over the top.
I guess.
There's so much stuff being streamed every day to different websites that it ends up you're sitting in a situation where a lot of terrible things get streamed online. And just stay away from it, I would suggest. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session. So put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, DeWittLaw.com. 1-800-DeWitt-Law is the number to call and or text after an accident. Want to reach out to the folks at the DeWitt Law Firm, and it's very easy to do. And you can also email ask@DeWittLaw.com. Two really bizarre stories in jury duty today. One is the sister of Dylan Roof. Dylan Roof is this sick son of a bitch who went into some church in South Carolina and shot the place up and killed a whole bunch of people. And his sister posted on Snapchat for National Walkout Day yesterday, "I hope it's a trap and you all get shot.
Oh.
We know it's fixing to be nothing but black people walking out anyway."
Wow.
Apple tree fall. You know how that whole thing goes. And they said that they arrested her for the threat because they took it as a threat and possession of marijuana. And she also had two weapons with her on campus, pepper spray and a knife along with her. Can't just be quiet and stay out of the news, considering what her brother's been up to. And a even more bizarre story at Northport, Florida. A man who once claimed he helped hide the remains of Natalie Holloway in the famous missing persons story. They say he was stabbed to death during a foiled kidnapping attempt.
Fatality.
So weird. John Ludwig, this 32-year-old guy, tried to kidnap this woman as she exited her driveway. She grabbed the knife from him, stabbed him, and killed him. He died at the hospital. He was a friend of Joran Vandersloot, and Vandersloot's now in prison for an unrelated murder, not even attached to the Natalie Holloway stuff. But this guy said he was responsible in some way for that, too. Now he's dead. Back in just a moment with some other details that we missed, including one about a murder suspect that did something very odd during a standoff. Details next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
From
Real
Radio 104.1.
The game of magnets, taking over the world one terrible person at a time. This is the News Junkie.
This is one of the most bizarre stories I think I've seen in a while. I want to get right into this, and I need some admissions, I think, from everybody. I'm willing to admit it. I have thought about what it would be like to be in a standoff before. I have considered it. I've thought about, like, the interactions with the police negotiator and all the things you would demand.
Oh, wait. In this this little fantasy of yours, you're the one that is standing off?
Yeah.
You're the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy, and I'm cornered. Maybe I'm in a bank. I don't know where I am.
I thought what you meant was that you have thought about what you would do if you were, like, one of the hostages or something, or if you were a passerby, and we know that you've witnessed things and done nothing about them.
Yeah, I would do nothing. Yeah. I mean, let's just get that out there.
Okay.
I would do nothing if I was just a witness.
All right.
But if I was the bad guy, and I'm backed up in the corner, and the police are out there in full force, and
they're saying,
they're like, yeah, like, well, I imagine they're going to ask me, like, what are your demands, Sean? I say, they always ask for some sort of food or something. And then I want a chopper in 15 minutes, and I want nobody else to follow me, and we're going to fly out of here. I'm going to come up with an escape route to get out. I've thought at length about this and all the different things that you would do. maybe take a hostage with me. I mean, I'm never going to do this. I'm just saying these are things that you process. Are you saying you have not thought about this before, Sabrina?
I can't say that I have. I'm sorry.
You've never imagined being in a negotiation system?
Yes, but as a negotiator, not someone holding people hostage.
You're always the good guy in your daydreams?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would be the good guy, I'm sure, in real life. Maybe, possibly. Mm. But in fantasy world, I'm thinking about these other sides of things. Celan, have you ever thought about what you would do in these situations?
I mean, I haven't gone over my list of demands, but I mean, the always being a good guy in your fantasy, I have the outlet to be a bad guy in my fantasy, and that's GTA 4 or GTA 5.
Oh,
Grand Grand Theft Auto video games. If I really just want to, you know, have a standoff and all the helicopters
yeah.
and just blow stuff up. I think that's what video games are good for.
Well, in Terre Haute, Indiana, the reason why I bring this up, there's a story about a guy named Michael Reynolds. And Michael Reynolds, I have to be clear, is a complete and utter scumbag. And Michael Reynolds is accused of fatally shooting a 40-year-old woman named Amanda Kearns, and it was some sort of domestic violence situation. Like, he was in some sort of relationship with this woman. They got into a fight, and he shot and killed this poor woman at a home in Terre Haute, Indiana. Police say he also shot and critically injured a second person named Ronald Lawrence at the same location. So he's now shot two people. He's killed one. He's got one that's significantly injured as a result of all this. So he hauls ass home. He goes back to his house, and the police catch wind of what's going on. And they think, all right, we got to look up Michael Reynolds. We think that's the guy responsible. Please go in full force and head over to his house to engage with him and get him arrested. That leads to a standoff. So now he's in this situation where he's in the standoff with the police. And they're out there and he's talking to them back and forth and via phone and screaming things out the door. They're getting some communication set down. This standoff went on for 20 hours.
Damn.
20 hours, you're going to have some weak points in your standoff. You're going to have to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
It's a weak point. You can get taken out then easy.
Probably get hungies.
You're going to get hungry as hell. I feel like a standoff will make you real hungry. And then you're going to have other issues that come up, just like you're going to be tired after that long. But the police are the ones with a real issue in this case, because they found out that in the middle of this 20-hour standoff, the man who was cornered in this house went out the back door, snuck around a back fence, left the scene during the standoff, and went shopping at Walmart. He left during the standoff.
So were there hostages?
There were no hostages. It was just him.
Wow.
And he was able to get out. Newly released information by the police says that he didn't stay in the home through the entirety of the standoff. He broke through the police barrier, went shopping at Walmart, and video from the store confirms his visit.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome. It was able to get, it's 3:30 in the morning.
How dumb are the police to even release this information? Like, look how bad we are at standoffs. If you want to stand off somewhere, perfect place is right here. We're just going to let you go for the drive-through for a Big Mac if you want.
I'm confused by a couple of things, too. So it says 3:30, he goes through a basement window next to a privacy fence that was out of police view. He bought some, quote, general items. What the hell does that even mean?
A banana and toilet paper.
Are they trying to say, like, hey, he didn't buy more ammunition? Because then they'd look real stupid.
Oh, gosh. He bought probably nothing that could aid or abet the standoff. Just like, you know, some Doritos.
He got general items, but police would not reveal exactly what he purchased. And then he sneaks back into the standoff and finishes things off with the police. The guy could have just gone off, and the police are cornered at his house. They have no idea he's left, but he sneaks back in.
What did the police think was going on during that time? He was just maintaining radio silence for a while? Or
I have no idea. Hang on. There's a report on this from Fox 59, I believe. It's a local affiliate. Let's see what they said.
The Terre Haute Police Department takes responsibility in its part in the escape of a suspect in a standoff. Good evening to you, and thank you for joining us. Police held a press conference a little earlier tonight. They talked about how Mikey Reynolds was able to get away from police and shop at Walmart during the standoff.
Oh, that's an embarrassing press conference, if there ever was one. Guys, some point during the standoff, the guy left, went shopping, and then he came back afterwards.
He was like, hey, do you guys need anything from Wally World? I'm going to go make a quick trip.
I mean, you didn't have the house surrounded? So they couldn't see if this guy comes out the back?
News 10's Heather Good was there at that News conference. 10. She joins us now live in the newsroom with what she's learned.
How embarrassing.
That's right, Rangel. Chief John Plassey says that around 12:30 a.m., suspect Mikey Reynolds was able to get out of the home on First Avenue through a window where he had been at that home for several hours. Chief Plassey used a map and a picture of the home on First Avenue during the press conference this afternoon to illustrate how Reynolds was able to get out of a window and make his way to another home on Fourth Avenue. Plassey says that window was not covered, and the dark and rain made it that much more difficult to secure that area. Ultimately, he says it falls on him.
They're trying to find all the reasons why this happened. It's dark. Sure was rainy out there.
Yeah.
Very difficult to see when people are sneaking around and getting outside of the house, going to another one, then going to Walmart.
He was out of that perimeter before Indiana State Police got there, so him getting out of the perimeter is on. It's on me. It's on Ferro Police Department. It's not on State Police.
Well, that's good.
They did an excellent job relieving us and helping us with the scene.
Reynolds was also able to make a trip to Walmart in the early morning hours after he first left that home on First Avenue. There, police say he bought a cell phone. Investigators think he had help, so more arrests could be possible down the line. I'll have more on all of this tonight.
How live crazy in the news. So he snuck out at 12:30. Then at 3:30, he's at Walmart. Then he's back in. I mean, we're talking about like hours and hours and hours.
And they're all just standing outside.
Yeah, they're just sitting there. They're probably just eating some pizza or something, saying, wow, you know, I guess he's still in there. It's been quiet for quite some time.
You think he maybe went and had a beer somewhere? Or I mean, there's a few hours.
Yeah,
so
he had plenty of time.
Spend the whole time at Walmart would be kind of a, yeah.
The thing I'm most confused by is, why do you go back to the house where the standoff is happening?
Because the standoff is not a standoff unless it ends eventually. They would have been there for 3 days. I think it was actually very courteous of him to go back.
Turned himself in at the police department or something. He could have done a million different things. He goes, I'm going to sneak back in.
Do you think he knew that the standoff was still going on? Like when he came back, he assumed that they figured out that he was gone and went looking for him.
I think there was a lot of coverage of it. And there may have even been some live coverage of it. So he could be there.
He's at the bar watching the live coverage. It's my house.
He's sitting there. He's like, looks like it's still outside. All right, I'm going to head on out of here, make my way back home, and work my way back into the standoff that I took part in. Now, when I thought about mine, when I was picturing myself inside that, it's usually a bank I'm robbing. I'm a bank robber in my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing that, I had some way to outmaneuver the police, and I got out of there scot-free, but I didn't have to sneak out, and I certainly would never have come back into the house afterwards, because that's about the worst idea of all of them in terms of what to do next. So that guy made the police look a little bit foolish. Although they have the last laugh as he spends some time behind bars. Fox News contributor Tommy, or is it Tommy or Tommy Lahren? How do
you always go through this? I think it's
Tommy.
Tommy. T-O-M-I is how you spell her name. She's on Fox all the time. And she had a situation where this week on Wednesday, she was doing a hit. They call it a hit when you're on for just a moment or two.
Oh, I thought she was smoking weed.
No, I don't think. Maybe could have been.
Thought she was killing somebody.
Nope, wasn't killing anybody or smoking weed. She was just doing a short little interview on Fox and Friends, the morning program.
Thought she had a successful pop song.
She was in a room at her house, because a lot of these people will do this via Skype, and she said afterwards that the entire time her dog was chewing a bone loudly. So she said, I had to kick the dog about 4 or 5 times during the show, and made a video on Instagram talking about this. Like, hey, I was kicking the dog during the interview. So that spins out into Fox News contributor kicks her dog because it keeps making noise during an interview. And then that spins into, and this is how all these stories go in this day and age, TMZ, there they are. Tommy Lahren is at the airport. Let's talk to her about kicking her dog. What'd you do?
Well, at least we're going to talk about something other than politics.
Oh, boy.
So,
yeah, I know what we're going to talk
about, know,
right?
Well, yeah, so tell me what's going on. Everybody's upset.
I don't think everyone's upset. I think people are pretty logical, and they understand that it was a joke. But,
yeah, it was. Well, I mean, I have to be clear.
Gotta be clear.
Did you kick your dog?
Ridiculous.
You didn't kick your dog.
Anyone that knows me knows that I love my dog more than anything in the world. So,
right.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous.
Right, but PETA's upset. Everybody's thinking. It's not right to joke about stuff like that, right?
It's not right to joke about.
Yeah, that guy's kind of annoying.
The both of them.
They all are annoying.
I could do without either one of them. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
If it's important to you, it's on and probably being mocked by. The News Junkie.
Go to your dispatches for the News Junkie app in just a second, because that parking video that's up on See It Now in the app is really getting people going. And I don't blame you. That's the kind of thing that makes your blood start to boil a little bit. I'll tell you about it right before we get to the dispatches again, if you missed it. But an update on a story we did a couple of weeks ago. And I remember reading this and thinking, God, this is one of the dumbest things I've heard in a while. And it's so sad that it ended this way. But the woman who shot her boyfriend for a YouTube stunt, you remember that?
Yes.
She was making a video with him, and they thought that this thick book that he was holding up would block the bullet. And he's holding it right up in front of his chest, and she shoots through the book, and of course it goes right through and kills him, and the book isn't bulletproof, we learn as they're making this video for YouTube, and she kills her boyfriend. She fired on him from about a foot away. Mona Lisa Perez, 20 years old, was asked by her boyfriend, 22-year-old Pedro Ruiz, to do this whole thing, and now she's been sentenced. So they didn't just go, oh, that's unfortunate. Let's make sure that because this was just an accident and a stunt gone wrong, nobody gets punished. Well, they gave her 6 months time in jail for shooting dead her boyfriend in this botched stunt. Hmm. The sentencing terms go like this. She's going to serve a 180-day jail term. This is weird. Listen to how she's going to spend these 3 months in jail, or actually 180 days in jail, more than that. There will be alternating 10 days in jail and 10 days out for the first 6 months.
Okay.
So she goes in for 10 days, and then she's out for 10 days for 6 months of this sentence. I feel like you'd lose whatever job you had. You can't have 10 days off in a row and then work 10 days in a row at a job unless you have something very specific.
But I'm sure her job is aware of what she has done.
Oh, they must know about this by now. That'll amount to 90 days behind bars. The remaining 90 days can be served in home confinement. So she'll have, you know, like her home situation set up where she can't go anywhere. And she'll have 10 years of supervised probation after that house arrest.
10 years?
Yep, 10 years probation.
That's a lot of probation.
Banned for life from owning firearms. And she is banned, and I like this, and I wish they would do it for more things. She can make no financial gain from the case whatsoever. So if they want to do an interview or she wants to try to sell the rights for something, she can never make any money off of the stupidity that happened here.
Now, does that include making money off of just her as a person?
If she uses the story about this guy getting shot and the YouTube stunt and how she was involved, then she can't make any cash off it at all. She's completely locked out of that stuff. Before we get back into the dispatches, just a reminder, if you missed this story, there's a dash cam video, and it's up on See It Now for the visual. If you don't have the News Junkie app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store. And on the dash cam of this couple that's just trying to park in a parking garage, you see some lady run by them on foot. And then she goes and stands in their parking space that they were about to pull into, and she calls dibs on it. And that's not how the rules of the road work. You don't call parking spots like that. You got to be in the car to actually do that. Here's how it sounded. Listen.
Are you kidding? No way.
You're not even in a car, woman.
Are you serious?
No,
is she screaming back at him?
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me?
Get out!
Where? I don't see no car.
So the car's right over there where a friend is.
Are you,
are you serious? Are you... You're,
no,
you're
there.
There, there are people that have taken... I don't know, take an issue with the fact that he said, I don't see no car.
I don't see no car is the problem
here? Negative. I'm like, come on!
There's a problem here. It said a person is standing in the parking space that you were just about to pull into. I play that so you can see what people are talking about as we go through these dispatches. Here is Micah with the very first ever dispatch.
Hey guys, long time listener, first time dispatcher. Hope you guys are having a great day. The lady with the parking space, honestly... Just push her with your car. I mean, she'll move.
Little
if she
shove?
Doesn't move. Well, no, she'll move. Don't worry, she'll move.
She didn't move. She ended up winning that spot. The person is just standing there holding it. And I got a bunch of emails on this, too. People saying, in big cities, this is far more commonplace. Tina says to tips@thenewsjunkie.com, hey, guys, years ago, when my grandma lived in Philly, people used to put lawn chairs in spots on the street to save parking spots. They were that hard to come by.
That's different, and that's even worse. We had a story recently, I think, like a This Week in Florida story, that was about a mother who left their child in some sort of child chair or something uh-huh. like that, that at her apartment complex because it's hard to find parking at her own place where she lives.
So she could switch between the spots or something? Or just,
yeah,
she could hold down that spot?
So it would be there when she got back from shopping or whatever she was doing.
Randy says, tips@thenewsjunkie.com. If this happens more, the next step will be homeless people holding parking spots for sale for $2 a piece.
Not a bad idea.
They could get a lot more than that in the open market if they were going for it. Let's go to a dispatch from Ricky.
What's up, junkies? Love the show. Just want to comment on that lady with the parking spot. I would have gladly given up my parking spot for her. But she would have came back to either some body work that she needed done because I would have written on her car
Key
or gotten
car.
Tires because her tires would have been flat and solved that issue. All right. Later.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's a you might want to expect your car to get keyed kind of situation. I don't like that either. Like if there's a little back and forth and people get kind of mad and then you park and then you walk in. Number one, I'm always scared that we're going to walk into the same place and like be sitting next to each other. You're like, sorry about the thing in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah, that totally happened to me.
Where you got into an altercation and then you ended up right next to the person?
Yep, was positioned and ready to go into a parallel parking spot, and a person just pulled in. And I don't know, I usually would just be inside my car, windows up, being angry, but I felt the need to be like, that was not very nice of you.
Rolled the window down?
Like, sorry, and being sarcastic. And so I said my piece, and I felt good about it. And then I walk into the restaurant, and there he is. And he happened to be with people that I know.
It was actually at a table with friends that you knew?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I know you. I just screamed at you earlier.
That's even worse.
I had a guy that I guess was honking at me. I didn't hear him. I don't know if like my music was loud or something, but I was getting into this parking spot that he apparently had his blinker on for, but I didn't see him. He wasn't like right by the parking spot. He was like in a weird position, but
he was nearby.
He claimed it, and I pulled into it, and the guy rolled down his window and starts yelling at me, and I'm like, dude, I didn't see you. Like, he's like, well, I was honking. I was like, I didn't hear you. You want me to move the car? I'll move the car. And he's like, he just stormed off. I'm like, but he like confronted me
sure.
about it.
Yeah, people get angry about this stuff.
And I think it was because I was younger. Because I was in high school at the time. I think he thought, some punk kid is stealing my spot. And I'm like, not at all.
When you do that stuff, just imagine the things that you don't hear them say about you. Because they're talking. You've done it before. Everybody's like, your window gets up and you're like, dumb man, meffer, this, that. Always, always letting out that aggression. Here's Julie.
Hello.
Hey.
So talking about a parking incident that happened to me once where I was waiting in a parking lot and I had my spot, I had my blinker on, I was all ready to get in there and this little car jolts in front of me from the other side and takes it and I yell at them and I say, hey, I was waiting for that spot. And they looked at me and they said, face it, lady. We're younger and we're faster.
Oh, come on.
And I was like, what? And so I rammed their car. I rammed it a couple times.
Get out of here.
I just said, well, face it, ladies. I'm older and I have better insurance.
It's from a movie.
Tawanda.
It's Fried Green Tomatoes. I don't know how I know that and you guys don't know. You guys haven't seen Fried Green Tomatoes?
It's an old movie, big guy.
Oh, it's not that old. IMDb me Fried Green Tomatoes. Like I'm an old man. That's got to be late 80s. Late 80s, I'm guessing.
1991.
It's not that old. Here's Brady with a dispatch.
Hey, I just want to say, if you send somebody to wait for you in line at a grocery store, that's fine, because if they get to the front of the line and you're not ready, what do? They step aside and let the next person in line go forward.
Hopefully.
While maintaining their spot. You're still not there, they let people pass. So sure, you want to stand in a parking spot, that's fine. But if somebody gets there before you do, you need to step aside and let them in.
Yeah, you can't be a car when you're walking around. You can't be like, I was able to run across all these aisles of traffic and stand here. Yeah, I'm a car right now. And I made it before you. That's just rude. It's rude to do it that way. Here's the Jews nunky.
Those folks blocking parking spots need to step their game up. Don't do a parking lot. It's child's play. Find a really busy bathroom at like the mall or maybe the porta potties at a carnival where there's like a line.
Don't do that.
And then when it's your turn, just stand in the doorway of one of the stalls or the porta potties. Say, I'm holding this for my friend. You're just going to have to wait. You stand right there. See how long it takes to get punched in the face.
People get really mad about that kind of stuff. People get really blood boilingly mad about cutting in line. About getting past on the road where somebody drives to the end and then kind of at the last second merges, so
yeah.
They think they're more important.
Line jumpers.
The line jumpers are the things that make everybody universally gets mad at that.
You know what more often than not happens to me regarding the bathroom line situation? I'll be waiting behind someone, and my assumption is that if somebody is in line, they know that the bathroom is occupied. And then they give up after a while because the person inside is taking their sweet time.
Sure, yeah.
And I go, just for giggles, let me try this this old door handle here.
Uh-huh.
Thing's been empty the whole entire time. Happens to me all the time.
It's because people just figure. They're like, I figure somebody else tried it. I figure somebody tried that out and it didn't work for them. Here's ex-soldier.
Yeah, I saw that video when you posted it on Twitter last night about the car parking lot and all that crap and the car garage, and I showed it to my wife, and she was like, I don't give a damn. We would have sat there and waited them out. I would have turned off the car, and I would have went to sleep.
Game on, right?
You know, because what's going to happen? Somebody else is going to call the cops, and it's going to make them look like a fool. That's what I would have done. Like, soldier out.
It's a game of parking chicken, and you say, okay. I'm going to sit here as long as it takes until you get the hell out of my parking spot. And the lady who was standing in the parking spot saying it was hers because she ran and put her feet in the parking spot before you got your car there, that lady's going, oh, yeah? I got all the time in the world, too. And then it just comes down to who actually has all the time in the world.
And I got a diaper on, so.
Yeah. And this is really, the game is in full motion right now.
Your move.
Here we go. Let's go to Nurse Cat 6 with a dispatch.
Hey, news junkie.
Hey, you.
Sabrina and C-Lane. Love you guys. I'm sorry, honey, but you're wrong about this parking issue. It's absolutely the proper etiquette to circle in your car, you know, wait for 30 seconds, a minute or so if somebody's leaving. You've got your signal on. It's just wrong to have another person go stand there.
Flat out wrong.
It's just wrong.
Okay.
Wrong.
But anyway, hey, you know what they say about opinions, right?
Everybody has.
Love you guys. Have a great day. Oh!
Maybe not one person. What if you get four people that stand in the spots in which car seats would be?
It doesn't matter. They're not in
the shape of a car.
They're not in a car.
They were in a car.
You have to be in the car.
If you put wheels on them, they would essentially be a car.
You have to be the closest to the spot with a blinker on, even, to the next level.
Is it more pleasant to be disagreed with in an accent like that? Like, well, I'm sorry, darling, but you're wrong.
It's not as bad as if it's just really just aggressive and straightforward. One more.
It's still pretty hard.
Man. Here's Made to Order with a dispatch.
I'm just wondering, is there any way to charge this resource officer with maybe accessory to the crime?
No, come on.
Just a thought.
Yeah, no. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Accessory would be like he helped the guy out. This would be a criminal negligence kind of thing, if anything. And I don't see them doing that.
Hey, if you haven't subscribed, now's the time to do it. A brand new secret show, uncensored, on the News Junkie app, ready for you. And you can get that at GetSecretShows.com. Go there now and subscribe for Secret Shows. GetSecretShows.com. We're back in just a moment with the final dispatch of stories that didn't make the cut. Today I learned, and there's a story out of Miami that's developing with a bridge collapse that we'll talk about when we come back. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Radio. Talking about what's trending. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Thursday. Don't forget the show tomorrow live. Lots of prizes. And magnets for the first 200 of you. Lots of fun things going on for our St. Patrick's Day weekend kickoff broadcast at Elixir tomorrow from 11 to 3 o'clock. We'll do all these final things here, but there is a story developing out of Miami. A bridge at Florida International University just completely collapsed.
This is a pretty crazy story. They just built that bridge.
It's brand new?
They just built that bridge to make it safer. Because this is a very bad street. Pedestrians get hit it all the time. This is the first of its kind, 950-ton bridge.
Oh, no. Did they really build the bridge to make it safe in that area? And then the bridge falls?
And it crumbled as a new way of building bridges.
Let's scrap that.
Several fatalities. They say at least 5 to 6 cars underneath there.
Do you see? I mean, the cars are under there. They're just completely squished.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like at a monster truck rally, just a completely squished down to nothing car. And let's see what they're saying on CNN. If you don't mind, let's just peek in as they're talking about this with several fatalities now.
What we can tell you about this bridge is this is a pedestrian bridge. We learned it was installed just a few days ago on Saturday. In fact, the local newspaper there, Miami Herald, covered
somebody's
the installation
in
on March 10th. And I'm reading from this article. It says the rapid span installation was the result of months of preparation. The bridge's main 174-foot span was assembled, in fact, by the side of the trail while support towers were built at either end. And then this 950-ton span was picked up.
It's a pretty good size of the bridge that's fallen down. The whole thing's down?
Designed to, in a matter of hours, designed to connect the neighborhood of Sweetwater with the campus, the Florida International University.
It's bad.
Campus. This happened on Saturday, so the questions now is what went wrong?
Yeah. You look at this, something went drastically wrong. The entire thing has collapsed. And it just so happened, I guess, that there were all these cars passing under at the time, or maybe stuck in traffic, or I don't know what. And that's where I think these fatalities are. I don't know if there were people who were walking across the bridge as well or what. But, man, what a bad scene that is as that plays out. A freak incident here down in Miami at Florida International University where this brand new pedestrian bridge has collapsed onto a bunch of vehicles. Like I said, when you look at them, they're smashed. I mean, they're done. If somebody's in there, the likelihood of them being alive is very, very slim. Let's just go to one dispatch real quick because it's a newbie. First-timer Tiger Paw with a dispatch.
About the woman standing in the parking spot, I just pushed her with my car.
Oh, all right. A lot of people saying
totally down with vehicular assault.
Just smashing into her to get her out of the way. She was rude and she was out of line. I don't know if it's kill-worthy. It seems a little bit aggressive there. Let's do the stories that didn't make the cut. A French baker has been fined $5,000 for working too much. There's a law in France where you can only work 6 days a week. This hard-working baker has been working 7 days a week illegally and now is in trouble and fined for working too much.
Criminal!
In France. Unbelievable. Another criminal off the streets. Will Ferrell crashed the booth during another tennis game. He must love tennis. He's at a lot of these events. And he, for like 20 minutes, was on during a Roger Federer game, making it the most exciting 20 minutes of tennis because, you know, the rest of it's pretty damn boring. I don't know if he's a fan or friend of Federer or what's going on, but once again, he crashed the booth and made a viral video. And a student participating in the National School Walkout Day yesterday was assaulted, they said. This particular student, there's no arrests that have been made yet, but was carrying a flag with the word Trump on it and was across the street from six other students who went across, took his flag, damaged his camera, and they say inflicted minor injuries onto him. Otherwise, a fairly clean day in terms of problems with the national walkout. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Thursday, March 15th, 2018. Seven stories from around the web and around the world. Credit goes to Reddit.com and the Today I Learned section. I've been doing this forever. I remember way back in the day, one of the first, like the first year or two that I was doing this, Reddit actually reached out and said, thank you for doing this segment, just in case you think it's a whole stolen thing and they're mad. That was way back when.
You steal your whole show from Reddit.
The score now, C-Lane 87, Sabrina, just curiously, still at 69 on the scoreboard. 4 points up for grabs today. Today I learned this guy.
Marvin Gaye.
No?
No, it's the other...
Marvin Straight.
The other sexy guy.
The other sexy guy.
Oh, yeah. My name is Larry.
White.
Barry White. Barry White. Yes, Barry White was once arrested for stealing $30,000 worth of Cadillac tires.
All right.
Seems like a lot of Cadillac tires, for the record. White had not always conducted himself in a loving way. The theme of his songs was a long way from his background in L.A.'s South Park neighborhood. He said his brother Daryl was murdered in a clash with a gang one time. Barry White was jailed at the age of 17. He ended up stealing and getting caught with $30,000 worth of caddy tires. Today I learned women used to wear chameleons and even other animals as jewelry items.
Bring it back.
They would fasten the little chameleons to their hair or to their clothes, and they admired how they would change colors to match their outfits. It was reported in 1894 in the New York Times, a booming trend in living jewelry and animal cruelty organizations, even at the time, way back in the 1800s, were concerned about the behavior. Today I learned this band here.
White Stripes.
Bam, bam. I'm just waiting for you, C-Lane. She's not playing anymore.
Van Halen.
It's a punk band.
Sex Pistols.
The Sex Pistols is right. I think you accidentally got it right.
No, I will play. But keep it at 69. Don't give me anything.
Today I learned, it's an odd request, but I'll accept it. Today I learned the Sex Pistols manager's son destroyed nearly $7 million worth of punk memorabilia. This kid, Joe Corey, he's the son of former Sex Pistols manager Malcolm McLaren and designer Vivian Westwood, set fire to clothes and paraphernalia that they thought was valued between 5 and 10 million pounds or up to $6 or $7 million on the 40th anniversary of the band's debut single, Anarchy in the UK, which you just heard moments ago. Today, I learned Ashton Kutcher ended up in the hospital with pancreatic issues after following Steve Jobs' fruitarian diet. This was in preparation for the movie Jobs, where obviously he played Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs in real life died of pancreatic cancer.
Ooh.
Many believe that that fruitarian diet he was on wasn't doing his pancreas any favors either. Today I learned this respected gentleman here.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson is correct. Michael Jackson's Thriller went platinum a couple times. It wasn't just once, not twice. It's gone platinum 33 times over. 33 times platinum for that. Eagles, their greatest hits album, 29 times platinum. Billy Joel's album, Greatest Hits Volume 1 and 2, 23 times platinum. And Led Zeppelin 4, 23 times platinum. That is a lot of albums sold right there. Today I learned Harrison Ford's son invented cauliflower rice. Wanted to share that with you.
All right.
Get off my rice.
Just a little tidbit from me to you guys about Harrison Ford's son. And finally, today I learned one of the guys from this band.
Linkin Park.
Linkin Park is the correct answer. Taylor, Mike Shinoda of the group Linkin Park is a third-generation Japanese-American. He's also an artist, and some of the artworks he has painted are featured in the illustrious Japanese-American National Museum. There's a bunch of them up in there. He's pretty good, actually. I looked at some of the work he's done. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Don't forget, we're live for St. Patrick's Day at Elixir. Be there at 11 o'clock when we kick off. Stay put. The Phillips File is coming up next, followed by Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in. I beat it.